Today's Friendcast is brought to us once again by Dungeons & Dragons. If you can't make it to PAX West for the annual Acquisitions Incorporated event, don't worry because they're bringing the show to you. On September 4th, join Dungeon Master Chris Perkins and the cast of Acquisitions Incorporated for a live broadcast from PAX West in Seattle. Everyone in attendance gets a special adventure booklet exclusively for the event. For location information and tickets, visit fathom.live/DD. That's fathom.live/DD. Special shout outs to whoever it was that requested on the radio, Savage Garden, I Want You. While I was on the way here, that was pretty nice.
Yeah, that would be a special feeling.
I would like to think that they know the deal.
This week should be Killer Queen, though.
I almost felt like I'm like I should call in.
Yeah,
and be just like, ask for that.
Can I request Queen, Killer Queen?
Can I?
JoJo
call?
Fans are ruining the radio by putting on great music.
Oh no!
Yeah, no. If like, oh no, JoJo fans are asking for all the bands listed in JoJo. Oh no, that's. Awesome.
Valley Girls rioting because they can't hear latest whatever, who gives a fuck.
I'm sure there's a Valley Girl. Fucking Spice Girl's a stand.
Spice Girl is a stand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, it just...
Coming around.
I'd like there to be, like, a conscientious effort, like, to just play all the tracks from the current arc of JoJo on the radio as much as possible and see if anyone gets
well,
in
the problem
that.
Is the current arc is mostly named after bands.
Yeah.
So you just have to pick their greatest hits.
It's pretty easy. It's not a problem because we've gone from tarot cards to like, okay, now we can just straight up grab that song.
What's your favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, it's so true. If you're a JoJo fan, you should do that.
Fortune Faded,
just call local radios and tell them.
So there's a bit where a stan user mentions that he named his stan in the recent episode. And that got me thinking, are they all just intentionally naming them after songs they like?
It's kind of like how the moment Joseph said the word stand, people just inherently learned the term.
Around the world, everyone just started to say stand.
There's just an internal consistency, and you just have to accept it.
Did you see that video that somebody ginned up that was like the old OVA of people of all the Stardust Crusaders speaking
their
native
languages?
Yeah. And what a fucking mess that is.
That was pretty
funny. Such a neat idea, but...
Also, you have to see the old animation and appreciate, like, they put money into that shit.
Oh, yeah. Jotaro is stoic, not because he's like that, but because his English is terrible. And he's just thinking of the one cool thing he's going to say at the end
for the whole
episode.
I appreciated that look back to the past, because just comparing the old show to the current one.
Yeah, money was put in.
You know, like, the models were weirder, like, adaptations of Araki's art style.
Yeah, like Joseph's blonde for some reason.
But
still, still, as an OVA, it gets more,
So, apparently, how long ago was Ride to Hell?
Ride to Hell?
The Let's Play or the game?
I feel like it was a while ago.
You didn't play that on PC though, did you?
No.
No.
No, that was a PS3 copy. Was it 360?
Either way, I don't think there's a PC.
Oh yeah, why do you ask?
There was a PC
copy. Was there? Okay.
That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, okay.
I found out there was a PC copy and it got delisted.
Of course it did.
No kidding.
Just like the other versions.
And prior to
that's why we bought a physical version,
because it's gone completely. Because
Matt made the decision, if I remember right. Oh, by the way, Matt's on a cruise right now.
Yes.
Bye, Matt. Have fun on your cruise. He'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. I believe that the conversation that Matt and I had to do Ride to Hell was, this game had the worst reviews and it just got delisted. We need to do it.
Gotta find it. Okay, Afro Samurai style. Yeah. Because apparently before getting delisted from Steam, they marked the sale price down 160%, which means they owe you $6 if you buy it. And that was up on Steam. And like, you can't buy a game with a negative...
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure nobody got a penny from that.
You can't buy a game with a negative price on it, but that's what the button said.
It's the thought.
That's pretty funny.
It's fucking crazy.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah.
That's a good esoteric fact for 160.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty fucked
up. That's a really good one. That's a mistake.
they really
wanted
it.
We're sorry.
Going.
I knew a guy who knew the developers of that, and they were really proud of that game.
They made DLC for it.
Yeah, like
you don't make DLC unless you have something.
It takes a lot to make as much.
They were like really excited that it was going to be this awesome open world biker game,
and it wasn't.
Oh, no.
It really wasn't.
And not only is there not, but it's probably like. Like salted the earth on that.
Oh, that concept.
Topic. Yeah.
Like I. Do you remember
there's that? There's a new one that I fucking forget.
That
its
Sony
name
showed
by,
off
by Bend. Yeah, exactly.
And I remember when they were showing the trailer off. I think I even said like, "This looks like fucking Ride to Hell."
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus Christ. That takes a special kind of game that you guys did bug testing and Matt did bug testing, but it takes a special kind of game that I get to feel like I did bug testing too. Because
some games are just that
because it's work.
That game has what I would consider like an A class progress blocker in the DLC that just does not let you progress.
I remember seeing that, yeah.
If you blow up a barrel, all the location triggers don't happen.
Yeah.
See the cool thing about doing QA is at least you can get in a few days and the game will be better.
Yeah.
You know,
but this is a released game.
It just keeps getting better until the end
by a defunct company.
Yeah.
That's like there's a million things that you can guess as to what went wrong there, but like I imagine there was a QA team of about three people, and they were writing bugs as fast as they could, but no one was actually fixing them.
Yeah,
you know,
that. Like bug list of 40,000. Like guys, if you don't hit the prompt, the water animation just plays while you're dunking the guy.
That's cool though.
It's fucking stupid.
Wave that.
Time and money. That's the number one. Did I see that?
Yeah.
It still would have been atrocious, but you can tell that these are all missions that got cut out of an open world game.
Mm-hmm.
Liam, how'd you spend your time and money this week?
I spent my time and money mainly on Deus Ex Mankind Divided. And I would say mostly my time, honestly, because it was only a $60 game and I didn't buy microtransactions because I'm not a horrible human being who needs free Praxis kits all over the place.
What about Deus Ex Go Praxis kits?
So you can't redeem them on PS4. You can only redeem them on PC and Xbox One.
That's remarkably stupid.
There was probably a back end. I don't know. There was probably a back end issue or something. Deus Ex Go is also really good, though.
That being said, boy, do you not need those Praxis
you
kits.
You do not. This game, they fucking change the XP up a lot, and you get Praxis kits all over the fucking
place. I couldn't believe how many levels I had acquired by the first big mission.
Yeah.
The game split into, like, I guess four parts or three parts,
mm-hmm.
and by the end of the third, I had every augment I wanted.
Yeah.
Every single
one.
And
there's a lot. Like, it's not like there's less augments or anything. There's more than there were in the previous game.
I had remote hacking, the dash, all the hacking,
mm-hmm.
the jump, the pickup things.
All the good stuff.
Punching through the walls, yep. All the smart visions, the radar, and the recharge on your
battery
on your pips.
Stuff. Yeah, of course.
And I'm like, what the fuck else do I fucking need?
The lungs. You got to get the lungs.
The
man.
Lungs is the last one that I need for the alternate path one.
And you want the melee two guys.
I did get that one.
I like
it's not
one.
Nearly as useful in this one.
No, I find less situations for it.
There's a lot less guys that are standing right next to each other conspicuously.
Yeah. but anyway, I really like the game. I didn't dig the tutorial mission that much, particularly the little encounter at the end of it. I really didn't dig.
Me and Liam talked about it for a while a few days ago.
Yeah.
It's really rough.
Definitely. Mm. And if you don't like immediately get what you're supposed to do exactly, you can find yourself reloading it. Because one of the side mission objectives fails partway through that section. And like when I got to the section, basically it's a skirmish with a lot of enemies. And
Lots, like 30 plus, right?
I kind of assumed, I think like 15, I kind of assumed that the best route was, okay, well, I got to knock them all out or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you totally don't have to. But I felt like I had to because I kept failing the secondary objective.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I had to reload the fucking thing, like, four or five times. And I looked it up on the internet, because I was like, this is nuts. Like,
yeah.
After I'd finished it. And sure enough, I saw lots of other people also had trouble with that first little, like,
yeah, because it's really unclear, because the objective is stop these guys, okay?
Yeah.
And then the secondary objective is protect this guy.
Keep this guy alive.
And so I'm like, okay, I'll stop them. So I start knocking out everybody just like Liam did. And then I'm like, okay, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
So then I end up failing the secondary objective.
The guy just dies.
The guy just dies. So I'm like, okay, I'll go next to him and protect him. So I go and like sit next to him and defend him. And he still dies. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then you find out that you have to like... disable the chopper, and like fighting the guys is totally trivial. It has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
And that the guy dies based on a timer. And it's so unclear.
Yeah.
And the whole rest of the game is so much better than that one bit.
Yeah, the tutorial really threw me for a loop because I was like, oof, I really hope this isn't representative. It's totally
it's not
representative at all. I honestly, I think I like Mankind Divided better than Human Revolution as far as, I haven't finished it, so I don't know about the ending, but as far as what I've played, which is 10 main missions, and a bunch of side missions in between, I like it better than Human Revolution.
It's a lot easier to ghost areas.
Yeah.
They've made it.
That it is.
Not only is your invisibility power like more accessible earlier on, but I don't even need that. Like, the vents, there's way more of them.
Mm.
Your abilities to take dudes out silently, no problem, are enhanced. And just the levels are better designed with more cover and more ability to move between places where guys can't
see you. There's so many different paths through play. Like, there's areas in the game that you'll get to and you'll be like, oh, okay, there's a path if I can jump high. There's a path if I have the lungs.
There's a path the gas,
if I
yeah,
can move heavy
yeah, yeah.
stuff. There's so many more paths.
Is it like
Human Rev?
Is it like a Metroid game where you start out with all your shit, but then you don't actually lose it?
You do start out with most of it.
You start out
with
most of it in the tutorial, and then there's a situation that makes you lose it, but also gain the ability to get new stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, you don't start out with all of it at all. But you start out with a bunch of cool stuff. You start out with, like, the landing system and the high jumps. And
you start out with what I would believe an average player would have at the end of Human Revolution.
Yeah, definitely. But then that all gets
And you
back.
Rapidly get back up to that.
Oh, totally. And you pick and choose, like, okay, I didn't need all those health upgrades in the first place. You
yeah,
know?
No, you still, like, the character that you start the game with has all the health upgrades.
Hmm.
Which I don't need those.
Totally
I'm never going to get shot
those, yeah.
a single time. Ever.
But, it's really satisfying. The writing still feels really good, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'm just really enjoying it. And the hub, I had heard there was only one hub area. That was kind of true and kind of not. Like some missions have like their own dedicated hub.
I say we can probably talk about everything up until Golem because
yeah.
Golem was the one they
mentioned
previewed
really
all the
early.
Time.
Yeah. So there's Prague, and Prague, I think it's been a while, but I think it's bigger than Detroit.
It is physically smaller, but Detroit had massive open areas of nothing.
Yeah, and it's super dense.
It
Prague
has about
has
twice
so
or three times as much like
to.
Usable existing
yeah.
real place.
Yeah,
it was Detroit was about like 8 streets. When mm-hmm. you think about it, and then like
they were huge, they were very wide,
yeah. And there was a lot of just walking
the in between areas, yeah. And then you get there's the sewers as well, so you can double that up. Actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Mankind Divided still has the sewers and stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, Golem City is like a 7-story smallish, mediumish hub that's just dedicated to this one main mission, unless there's another.
So yeah, it's like you know when in Human Revolution when you're gonna go to the FEMA camp at the end of Detroit, you're like this is a mission,
yeah.
and you're gonna sneak in, and it's a relatively long stealth mission, and,
yeah.
and the Hangsha lab is similar.
Yeah,
here the Golem City hub, the last third of it is that,
mm-hmm.
but the first 2/3 is a story based hub where. Instead of side missions, it's all just main mission and different ways to go
yeah.
about it. But it's really big and it's really long, and most of it is you walking around a city area
with police and that are not on alert
okay.
Unless you do something bad. Like
yeah.
it's like a new area that
okay.
you just go there for that. And yeah, you're saying that there are like 7 side missions that are just treated like secondary objectives to the main mission.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, you talk to the guy. You can either go talk to the guy and he'll smuggle you in, or you can find the dude's key
yeah.
by beating up the guard.
You can save someone's family. You can find someone's you know. Stolen shit. You can mm-hmm. like,
or you can do all of them.
Or you can do all of like, and that's just secondary objectives on one main mission.
Right,
so,
okay.
So I thought like, okay, only one hub, that's a bit of a bummer. But then when I got to Golem City, I was like, wait, hang on.
There's actually a bunch of mini hubs.
Yeah, so that's... So
and Prague changes.
Yeah, and Prague does change upon repeat visits later in the story.
There is the one okay. thing that, like, I don't know about you, Liam, but when I started the game, I just went to every single house and broke in and took everything in the game.
Yeah, I went to a bunch, and then I was like, okay, you know what? This game is going to take me longer than it needs to if I do this.
Yeah.
And
well,
every now and then I catch myself just going between a bunch of houses and then going, well, I don't need more shotgun ammo.
Well, Well, here's what I use that to do is like buy all the Praxis kits.
Yeah.
And then what happens is that the main missions or side missions will be like, you got to go to this place and break into this house. And I'll be like, the door's open. I already broke in.
Yeah. No, I just walk in.
I
had a side mission where you have to find an undercover guy. And I went into the place that I had already ransacked. And I found him there, newly placed there. He wasn't there when I went there originally. And I was like, oh,
I totally agree with Liam. The game's great.
Yeah, okay. It's really, really good.
It only has one problem.
What do you think that is?
It's so on the nose. It's very blunt about its themes.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really, really blunt. Like, they do everything in their power to tell you that like, this is the Holocaust and augmented people are like, analogs for Jews. And that... Like there's a character that's hiding out in her goddamn basement, like Anne Frank, and there's a guy telling you how Golem City isn't a concentration camp, and all that stuff, and it's super weird and it's super pointed, and there's the fucking Aug Lives Matter poster right outside your house,
right? And I mean, like I said, they literally use the term mechanical apartheid, like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know, it's
like it's so hidden. So on the nose,
yeah. It is justified in the canon of the game, though.
Yeah, in the canon of the game, it's slightly different because the Aug incident that happened in Human Revolution killed 50 million people in like 10 hours, which is worse than World War II in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But
so, like, there is justification for
it. Oh, internal justification.
Like that, yeah.
It's just like, because you know how, like, android science fiction is about slavery?
Mm-hmm.
And like
sometimes,
a lot of the times. And like, and that's why we're worried about Detroit. And then how like cybernetic or transhumanism can be about like minority groups.
Sure.
Like this one, it feels like it's constantly nudging you. Like, you get it.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
I after a little while, I felt myself not really feeling that so much anymore.
Does it tone down? Because Golem City was like really heavy on it.
Where'd you play up to? Because I'm up to like mission 10.
I don't know
something.
The names of the missions, but I got back to Prague at night.
Okay, yeah.
And I putzed around a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'm a little bit past that. I don't know. I just, after a certain point, I wasn't feeling it as much. Like,
okay.
Right at the beginning of the game, I was like, yeah, I get it. I got it. And then I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Golem City, I was like, whatever. That's just what the world is. You know, it wasn't bothering me at a certain point. So, but I hear you.
Talos Worker's speech is fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was a fun sequence. That was a cool sequence.
Just his whole bit is fucking great.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, not a ton to say about
it. Did you play that Breach mode?
Great. Yeah, I played Breach a bunch, actually. I did play Breach a bunch.
What
That's
is
true.
That?
Breach is a side game mode made by another team at Eidos Montreal, and it's like a mini game, effectively, where you go into these little areas with a different character and you steal items from the Palisade, their data bank or whatever. And it's like a speed run time trial kind of thing in these
new areas.
You
mean that bank?
But they have that big building that they have that you can see from certain buildings in Prague that's over the water that like goes up and it's like a big... horizontal
surface.
Oh, yeah,
that fucking weird thing.
That thing. It's that area, but
okay.
It's a digital representation.
That thing
that
can't possibly exist because it would fall down?
Yeah, more or less.
VR
so,
missions?
Like, yeah, that's what it always was. Did you see the trailer for Breach? Or?
I didn't really. I know it came out, but I didn't really check it out. No.
That's effectively what it is.
So you start with like a pre-made character? Or
no, it's kind of like your avatar character.
Okay.
You don't design it or anything like that, but it's...
No, but I mean like in terms of abilities...
Oh, okay, yeah, you have a slightly different upgrade tree than Jensen does, and you can get abilities like double jumps and stuff like that.
Huh.
So it's kind of differently oriented, and some stuff that Jensen has you don't have, because there's no real need.
It's like,
like the lungs isn't something.
So it's like a
get.
Sneaking version of like the mercenaries?
More or less. Like,
just like a out-of-world, just core gameplay like thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's fun. It builds on... There's a sequence that you find, I think it's like main mission 9 or something, and when you see that sequence and then see Breach, you're like, oh, I see. It's like really cribbing off of that that area and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's neat. It's a good game mode, honestly. It does have some like free-to-play game design concepts in there that I think... kind of like get in the way a little bit, but you know, otherwise it's fun to play. So
okay.
I'm excited to play more
like,
of it.
That's I mean, like, it's saying that something is midway through and better than like Human Revolution is like.
I think
that's tall praise.
I'm enjoying it more than Human Revolution.
Well, I hear a lot of people saying that it ends like badly.
Yeah, I heard that
but,
too.
But like, so. I'm of the opinion that Human Revolution also ended very badly.
I don't think Human Revolution had a good ending either. Like, I think the endings were. They were entertaining and stuff, but it sucked that it just came down to, like...
I mean, like, everything at Panchaea. I mean, like, having it devolve into, like, a zombie thing was, like, really boring to me.
Panchaea was, like... Panchaea was neat, but I found it a bit weak. And then the endings was, like, press one of these three buttons, you know? Not literally. But,
there's a bunch of,
but actually, like, literally.
There's a bunch of cool little stuff in the game that means nothing, but it's the kind of writing that I really love. And there's a tiny bit before you go to Golem where Adam talks to his therapist because they have a mandated therapist, and she's like, "You need to take your neuropazine." He's like, "No, I don't." And she goes, "Okay, whatever. Like, we're supposed to believe all of our patients, so you want to tell me you're some kind of medical marvel? I'll just have to believe you." Mm. And he's just like, "Oh, fucking."
But he totally is, and he doesn't have to
say
neuropazine.
So you can go and get your neuropazine and give it to other people.
Yeah,
right.
Or sell it. It's worth
sell
a fucking
it.
Lot
yeah,
of money. Yeah.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah. That was a really cool sequence. I'd like to see if there are fail states for that sequence, because, like, by the end of it, she was like, "Yeah, you can go out in the field, whatever."
Yeah.
But I'd love to see if she could, like, tell you that no, you're not fit to go out.
Probably the weirdest thing about the story so far is that, like, all the big, like, it establishes the big players in, like, the very beginning.
Yeah,
like, you see the guys talking around a table and going like, "Those are the bad guys."
Yeah, as human,
that kind of happened at Human Rev as well.
But the problem here is that I know that nothing can happen to those guys in this game because JC Denton deals with those guys.
Yeah.
30 years in the future.
Yeah, a lot of them have to survive.
They have to survive, and their plans have to even... They have to be, like, somewhat successful for Deus Ex 1
to
happen.
Work.
Yeah.
And it's a little weird.
Unless they just rewrite the canon as we move
no.
forward.
Yeah, no, they're not.
They'll never do. They'll rewrite Invisible War all day, I'm sure.
Well...
Invisible War was a nano dream.
But even then, that takes place after Deus Ex, so a certain
fucking
amount of it has
Invisible
to hold still.
War, fucking... piece of shit.
Yeah, they'll fix it one day.
Oh man, I played that
nothing.
I played that relatively recently, and remember that time period where everyone would freak out about the consoleized PC ports?
Yeah,
this is the first time that I fucking felt it. Like, the icons are massive.
Yeah,
and the UI is busted on mouse and keyboard.
Well, like, if you want to talk like Eidos doing that, it was that and Thief. Three Deadly Shadows or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that was the other one that people
where it was like, "Oh, this is fucking a console game for sure." And when you play it, like, you totally feel it. So, let alone the new Thief. But hey.
I didn't really do or play much other than that. Also,
yeah, I played that a lot. I played more Federation Force. I'm quickly approaching the ending, and it's
still liking
it. It's good. It's good. And the thing that hit me the most after, like, playing it more and more is the missions are really varied. There's a lot to do. Some missions will just be like, "Go in, kill these things." Some missions will be like, "Okay, go in and cage these giant monsters," or "Go in and like push these carts to the end of the level," or "Bring that thing." Like, there's a bunch of different mission objectives, and
are
it's
you,
really neat.
Are you on familiar planets?
I don't believe they are planets that had been touched before. I don't think they were ever in any other Metroid game.
Hey, let me ask you. You said you were playing this, like, mostly co-op, right?
I've been playing offline, like, when I'm in public transit and stuff.
Okay.
When I'm at home, I'll play.
So, because I remember seeing someone talk about, I think it might have been Jim Sterling.
Right.
That, like, the missions seem, like, balanced for co-op. And
yeah.
that they're much harder solo.
So that there is, so you can equip those little, I forget, they're called augmentations to your mech,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, fuck it, they're
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly. So you have three slots for them. You start only with one, but you unlock the second one pretty quickly, and then the third one you unlock pretty late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they start you off right at the beginning of the game, and they tell you, like, to your face, here's this special one that you can only use in single-player mode. We highly recommend you use it in single-player mode. It doubles your damage output and halves the damage you take. And that...
Like the balancer.
Yeah, and when you put that on your character, which is how I've been playing in the single-player mode, it's fine.
Okay,
it's
all right.
It's totally fine. And also... there are these three little robots. I don't remember how they work in multiplayer because I constantly forget to even put them on in single player. That when you're assigning which missiles each character is taking to to the mission, you can grab these robots and they'll like hover around your character and they're like options in Gradius.
And let you switch when you need to.
No, no, they just shoot more bullets alongside you.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, and they're much weaker bullets, but in single player, you can equip all three of them to you. So you'll be firing your strong primary gun and then
compensating
have a bunch of little for your weaker bullets.
Missing team members.
But yeah, if you were playing without that augmentation, it would be rough. There, I did fail like two missions in single player because I ran out of life and died. So it is totally possible even with that. But without it, taking proper damage and doing half the damage would be not enjoyable. Honestly, that would probably be not fun.
Are the boss monsters just like damage sponges?
One of them was for sure. Another one was pretty interesting. It was like this aquatic boss that like swam around and split into two, and then like it was coming. You had to shoot it when it comes out of the water and stuff. That one was neat. But there was definitely one boss that was just an ugly damage sponge, and that wasn't fun.
Okay.
Some of the bigger enemies, you definitely get the gist too that like you're meant to have a couple characters blasting away at them, but it's not usually. You only usually face like one or two of them at a time, or even in a given mission because they're like big and frequent enemies. You know. Yeah, that game's super good.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess that's
watch Eric Andre.
I need to watch Eric Andre.
Me and Dan.
I've seen a bunch of it, but
before you came over.
We all watched like the back end of an episode
I'm just waiting for Flava Flav to get kicked in the face. That's all I need in my life.
Yeah, dude, like
Hannibal Buress is midway like Tatsu.
And he's gonna get kicked.
Like not even Tatsu, like Roundhouse, just straight, and it's like there's no avoiding this. It's happening.
Like, even if the floor dropped out, it would still hit.
It would have. There's no, like, the frame is on his face. Like, it's going down.
That's in a commercial?
In a commercial. There's no avoiding
that shit. I'd love to see that, too.
Oh, man.
Fucking,
next level. Like, so Hannibal standing slightly behind you just so that you feel
uncomfortable.
Yeah,
me and Willie were haunting. Me and Willie were doing, like, the analysis of everything they're doing to make the guests uncomfortable. God. It's like Hannibal standing close enough that you can feel his presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you feel the warmth
right behind you. And he's doing weird shit every couple of minutes, so you snap your head around like what the fuck,
and then you snap back and Eric's like doing weird
the lights in the studio are to their maximum heat. Eric isn't bathing.
You are uneasy. You are maximum.
You remember that,
uneasy.
Right? He doesn't bathe for the entire
or cut his nails,
which is horrible.
Yeah,
but
like fuck,
he knows what he wants. He's getting it.
Get the rats.
Let's take a quick word from our sponsor. Get ready for September's high octane loot crate theme, speed.
Wooly, you sound as if you need some form of boxed speed. Wait a second. I can't say that.
I'm so happy I stumbled into the timeline where Wooly willingly said speed like that again.
looks like this loot crate will come to you fast, but only if I forget the website that you go to.
lootcrate.com/super.
That's super
promo
fast.
Code super. Save $3 on your new subscription.
Save those $3 fast.
What's in the speed crate? Take a guess.
My first guess would be Sonic.
Is
he on the list?
The Flash.
The Flash.
He's speedy.
Gone in 60 seconds.
I remember that movie.
Battlestar Galactica. Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Oh, Sonic
socks.
I knew it. It would have Sonic. He has
Mario
to go fast.
Mario
at the speed of sound.
Force. Yeah.
Get your loot crate every month straight to your door. You want to subscribe to get
Thanks.
All that good stuff.
Wow, you're going so fast, I can barely hear it.
It's out of control, man. You want to get in at lootcrate.com/super promo code super to get all this good stuff delivered straight to your door for less than $20 a month.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Yeah, it's fine.
And we're back. So, Liam, in the Phantom Zone.
Yes.
That we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you wanted to say one more thing about Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Yeah, that I totally forgot. And Pat, like, we've both played.
Well,
like,
it's easy to forget because it's the lack
it's
of.
It's very easy to forget. And we've both played like 10 plus hours, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. How were the bosses?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either because I haven't fucking fought one.
I don't think there are any.
Yeah. And
that's an interesting way of addressing the problem.
There's conversation boss battles.
Like in the
previous title.
That's
for sure,
a really interesting way of addressing the problem.
Well,
I never would have expected that.
Think of like Last of Us, like, and how the like. I think there's one boss in that. There's two bosses.
There's
in that
at
game,
least two,
and they're both like, like the biggest boss fight in that game is like a big room with lots of enemies.
I still hear there is a boss in Mankind Divided.
There's
and it's
a boss.
It's blazingly obvious once you meet the character.
Oh yeah, I'm
that
met
like
him. I met
oh
him. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You're like gonna, I'm gonna fight you.
I'm gonna fight you. but yeah, just not including any bosses, I guess that's a way to solve the problem.
That is.
It's odd because Deus Ex, the original, did have a bunch of bosses.
But they were all terrible.
Yeah, they were all pretty awful, and you could just blow them up in like a second.
How awesome would it be if you ran into big brutish multi-aug man and you didn't fight him?
That'd be great.
Could you imagine, dude? Well, that'd be crazy.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
I forget, like a while ago, there was some video that somebody put out, like how I play Deus Ex. And it was like sneaking behind a corner for like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the next was like how the developers think I play Deus Ex. And it was the fucking cutscene from the trailer
where
Jensen's flipping all over and stabbing all those dudes.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
If
no.
only.
That doesn't make for a good trailer.
No.
Like hiding behind a box.
Not at all. Welcome. That makes for some good B-roll for like a 15-second shot.
Welcome
or something.
To Thief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
Thief.
No, you have to start getting the four out there, but then you don't finish.
Like Dishonored had the same problem where they showed off all this sword play. Like, I don't know anybody who took out their fucking sword in that game. I'm sure there's a lot of people who did.
Once.
Yeah.
Dishonored
was like extra like shitty about it because like the game punishes you pretty significantly for murdering people.
Dishonored, yeah.
And it's like, but there's a whole combat system in the game. Don't.
Like, that's good though. You know, like same with Mankind Divided, like and Deus Ex in general and stealth games in general have options.
I really do appreciate that like certain dialogue options now won't work as well depending on your prior conduct.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to moralize to a guy and be like, you have to do the right thing, but you killed every single person in between you and him,
and he knows it.
He will be like, "Man, shove it!"
Yeah. That's solid.
You're an asshole. You don't talk to me about being ethical.
Strangers can't look at you and see your stats, though.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But they could have heard about you,
right?
Because of the blazing gunfire outside
on the way into the building. Yeah,
that happened. I got to a sequence, and I accidentally got caught, and I was like, fuck it. And I put everyone down with a stun gun. I didn't actually kill anyone. I haven't actually killed anyone. And
yeah, you're going for that zero?
Yeah, and I got to the girl at the end, and I said something about how like, oh, it's pretty shitty that you're hiding behind like armed guards. Like violence isn't. And she's like, yeah, but you're no stranger to like to violence. And then Adam's just like, oh, I guess I'm not. And he's like literally just like, oh, touche, right? So
Jensen, you got some guts on your boot there.
No, I don't.
I didn't ask for those guts.
Might want to.
Exactly.
I didn't. Jensen is like, there's a weird point in that game where Jensen is just like so far above every other human character.
Everyone.
Like even the people that are just tricked out head to toe with Augs,
mm-hmm.
look like bootleg pieces of shit.
It's kind of neat because that wasn't really in Human Revolution, that it was like a constant thing. But in this game, like, you'll get stopped at checkpoints and they'll look at your papers and they'll be like holy it's shit, you're a fucking weapon.
FS7, what are you, some kind of superhero?
Yeah. Okay. And you get constantly reminded of that, but it's cool. Like, it feels cool, kind of. Interesting. Because that wasn't at all
in And there's a guy that's like, man, your text is really great. Well, who made it? I know it's not such and such because it doesn't come in black.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like, oh, man.
It's really neat, all that, like, old Serif stuff coming back in dialogue here and there and stuff. Like, and how special Jensen
is, I guess. Because in the time period in between then and then, augmentation's over. Like, getting augmented is over as a science. So, like...
And the only people who really do it en masse is, like, Taeyong Medical at that point.
Yeah, so they do it for very specific reasons. Yeah. And it's like, nobody in the world has the shit that Jensen's walking around in.
And you're not allowed to get it anymore.
No, hell no.
It's super forbidden, so...
I heard that there's some cool stuff in your apartment now, too.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Like, just the redesign way it's been set up is
it's a different place.
It's a different place. You're in Prague, and it's like Adam really liked his old apartment because he made this one look very similar to his old apartment. Okay.
I really dig the first conversations with David Serif.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's great. Great.
Like, David Serif's like there right at the beginning, and you're like, oh hey.
What happened to you?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would have happened to you, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Real bummer that they didn't have the same voice actor.
Yeah, he's
it's my mom calling. I'm going to message her and tell
her. Put her on the podcast.
Sorry, I can't talk right now.
I'm doing
call decline.
Oh, I think, by the way, I think I'm going to have a new ringtone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, what's
morning.
Oh, that's dark.
Show radio.
That's...
It's a good ringtone, though.
I like it. I'm gonna set that up soon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, that's worrying. Nuts, so.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
He's nuts. Did you know about that?
Hmm?
Serif's
the voice actor?
Voice actors. Just,
no, that sucks.
He's nuts, dude. It sucks because he's so good. Bummer.
They're putting fluoride in the water.
I can't even imagine a replacement. Honestly,
no. His voice is so good, and just it like. There's so many people who do that like old guy voice, but his was really unique.
It was like dude bro from SoCal who got good at science,
and he's your dad as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
He loves baseball.
Nothing like really hurts like a voice actor or an actor just getting replaced when they nail it so well.
And it's really easy to just remember how he says Adam in your head. It's gone. And as soon as you hear him, you're like, ah, fuck, it's like, close, but it's just not
there. I just started getting used to Don Cheadle as Rhodey, and like I'm like, he's super awesome and I love it. But I really liked Terrence Howard in the original, and like it was
so did Terrence Howard.
Yeah, well, but not enough, apparently, you know? And I think like one of the ones that really comes back is a Game of Thrones character that shows up a bit later on that you guys haven't seen
and they
yet.
Just get replaced.
The guy left to play Agent 47 in the fucking shitty Hitman movie.
Right.
Maybe
he got a paycheck.
No, wait. Not Agent 47. The transporter. That's what it was. He went to be the new transporter.
Much better role.
And because he left to do that, they had to just recast him entirely. And the flip from replacing that guy was from I love this character to I hate this character.
Aww.
Like it was that strong.
That kind of
didn't they replace
it.
The Mountain like three times?
Yeah. They had to cast him a bunch of times. It was weird. But they finally have the guy that they had was
he just
like
kept dying live on set.
The guy they got in the end was like a cool like guy that this kind of famous for being a strong man. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
yeah, I remember seeing a video of him boxing with this Irish MMA like champion. And the size difference is such that he's just walking around getting nailed in the face. He's like,
it's like when a character literally goes from being like, I like you to I hate you. That's a huge difference.
You get all the way to the end of Stardust Crusaders and it's not the right Dio.
Oh my God.
Just done.
That would have been, yeah.
Just get out of here.
No.
Just get the fuck out of here.
Unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, what you do with your life,
speaking man? Speaking of getting the fuck out of here.
What?
I went and I did some more room escape.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
did you escape?
I did escape.
Nice.
I'm here. and I escaped.
Yeah, well, twice. Did you escape or did they let you out?
No. I got out twice.
That's fucking fantastic.
Me and the crew are on a roll right now. We've pretty much been able to... We haven't failed since our, like, third room or so.
Have they put you on the ban list yet?
Not yet.
Where they have, like photos of you, like you stole something?
What I can say, though, is in each of these cases, like, we... Even though we're getting better at it, like, we're cutting it close within the 5 minute to 3 second
mark. I'm sure they're still hard.
Yeah. And the last two difficult ones we did, we got out within 10 seconds of the limit.
Right.
Type of thing. This last one is really interesting. It's still...
Do they have a thing where, like, if you get out fast enough, you get your money back?
No.
Like, if you're out within five, you get your cash back. Because what a disappoint. Like...
Yeah, that pretty extreme.
Like, but how much is it to go in?
It's like 20.
Oh, dude, this is like a money laundering scheme right here. I'm just going to go start up a shitty room escape.
And you get your money back.
No, and you get... And we just take the money.
Oh.
And tough.
Yeah.
You did it. You're really good, man.
Open the door.
It's like, here's like a medal from the Dollarama. Like, you're really good.
Well, you say medal.
Counting your paychecks.
You say medal, but so that this new one.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you. Yeah.
This new one that they set up at on the West Island. It's the extension of a maze, right? They have now hidden like pieces of a medallion that you find in each room. And if you put them all together, you get a prize for it
That's
of thing.
That's cool.
But they're totally extra objectives that you can miss.
Yeah.
You know, so it's your little extra achievement or whatever.
If you do it.
Yeah. So, like, it's escape, but also find this thing if you
can. Well, you're a pretty big guy. Do you ever have the situation where they come to you and they reread that part on the rules that says, you do not have to use your strength to complete the puzzles?
I've never had to. It's fine. And if you find yourself doing so, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, however, they'll get rid of you if you fucking break something.
There was one room in one game, and now I've done so many that I can like actually specify without giving it away, but there was one point where I opened the door and I saw a laser hallway.
Yeah.
And I went, nah. And then I my little friend was like, she's like, I got this.
Yeah, of course.
And like, she handed me her bag and she just fucking like went right through
Let me do a laser hallway with all these dreads. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought he's big and tall.
No, he's big and he's tall and he's got dreads all over the place. So,
like, go watch that Ocean's 12, I think, scene.
Yeah.
Except just like, my expertise is useful elsewhere. It was not there, but these two new room escapes at a maze were pretty awesome, and I still think that if you come to Montreal and you're into room escape, the Amaze games are my favorite set so far.
From what I can tell of you talking about this on the podcast so far, there appear to be like 10 or 20 now in Montreal.
The business is starting to boom because people are realizing that, like, this is an easy cash grab,
easy money. Yeah,
rent an apartment out. Put a bunch of throw a bunch of random shit in it and sit there and collect money.
Did you go
money
to that dodgy one near Chinatown yet?
No.
Remember I sent you a picture?
I remember you sent me a picture.
I think that one looks a little dodgy from the outside.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that
one. You go inside, you get stabbed, and they take everything you have. you got lost in the maze. I don't know what to tell you.
Super real shark pit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that
the cops coming. Oh, you're still in the maze. You guys want to go in the maze? The cops are like, I guess we're gonna have to go in the maze.
Like, is that police tape? No, that's part of the game. Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
Dude, like you could do so much.
Yeah, yeah. I'll give shout-outs to...
The cops are like, you're under arrest. No, you got to find me in the maze. You just run into the maze.
It's part of the game.
They'll never find me in here.
Oh, my God. And if you have enough threats set up, like... Oh.
Dude. I want to give shout-outs to Obsidian as well, which is the other one where there was actual, like... Every once in a while, a guard will come check on you, stealth your way through this mission, and hide so that you don't get caught by the guards, which is fun.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And we started talking, me and the group of friends started talking about like this other event that's like, it happens during, I think it's during Halloween, but it's like a little bit, about an 45 to an hour outside of town. There's an area where it's like a forest that has a giant, scary, immersive experience thing where you put on, like, you either choose between a green, yellow, and red shirt, and that color of shirt determines how much they can fuck with you while you're in the forest.
Yeah.
And it's like, escape this large, giant area.
And you, because you're a badass, you're like, give me the red shirt.
Okay, well, I was going to, I would. Right? But the list of things, they're like...
yeah, like they will attack you with
there's
the
a
red.
Straight up list, and I'm on board.
Yeah, there should
for
be a list.
Almost everything
except
on the list.
Except for that one thing.
Except for that one
and
thing.
That one What's thing the one is? Thing?
We can force you to eat weird things.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, no. I tap out there. You know,
that's an unfortunate.
Yeah,
one.
I'm down.
Can you
for
ask? Can you email them and be like, due to dietary restrictions, I can't do the eating thing.
But I'm down for the rest. Manhandle, grab, beat, put a thing on my head, and throw me in a van. Whatever, man.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna eat some weird shit.
You have no idea what that could be.
That dude. That I can't trust that.
That could be poo poo.
Like I am not. A party pooper. I am so in for the experience, but nah.
The upper, yeah, no, the that, upper limit is just a little too far.
That does seem like that could be, because there's a lot that you can do
so
that's
like,
not dangerous to your health, but that is disgusting.
Exactly. And I'm like, I think I'd have to reluctantly be a yellow shirt. You know?
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
It's probably just bugs, you should, but it's like,
yeah. Yeah, still, bugs are gross.
But there's a
it
world of difference
bugs.
Between bugs and live bugs.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I don't. There's too much. The variable is too open.
Eat this scorpion. Eat this spot. Eat this tarantula.
Yeah, it's too open ended.
Yeah,
there,
no fucking
know?
Thanks.
So that's where I have to tap. What I also did spend a whole lot of time doing was getting in on that Titanfall 2.
Yeah, so I played just the tutorial. I didn't play anything else because the servers were down.
Yeah.
But just to get a feel for it, I played just the tutorial area.
So you know what sucks about that tutorial?
What sucks about it?
How did you...
They cut you off at like right when the mech's supposed to go?
Did you get a tutorial for your Titans?
No, it cuts you off right where that's supposed to be.
And there is none.
Yeah.
Right? And that was one of the really good things in part one was that tutorial where you learn how to use your Titan and
it
interact
was super
with it.
Extensive.
Like the dialogue and the lead up to it is like, okay, time for the Titan.
And you cut. And then there's no Titan.
Exactly. It's not done yet.
And I guess it's not done yet.
But it was still fun to run around and the area was gorgeous.
Yeah. And doesn't it feel like a dream?
Yeah.
Like
they have that dreamlike quality to it that's really hard to place where they've got this beautiful lacquered wood and reverse waterfalls and fields of plants and stuff.
But I do mean like controls.
To control, it also feels like a dream to control.
Because I was playing Overwatch before I loaded it up and then I jumped onto
fucking
it.
Fucking nightmare ghetto setup?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Foot pedals now.
We'll get there. I jumped into Titanfall and just running around, double jumping off the wall, hooking, right? And then like holding aim while you're on the wall, sliding a bit, doing the ground slide. Everything that you do to maneuver is so much fun. It's the best feeling FPS experience
really
I've had in years.
Yeah.
Right, and this includes Mirror's Edge right now even. Like,
No, Mirror's Edge doesn't feel as good.
It's crazy.
At all. It never did.
It's crazy. But this thing is like so much fun. And then you jump online. And then you see what's going on with it, and I suspect as well that the Titan tutorial is not there because there's two
it's
demo
clearly
Titans
the
right
part
now.
Of the story as well too. So
they also might just not be done with some
with
of that
Titan
stuff,
perhaps
you know?
Or whatever. Yeah,
but you do get these two new setups, and one is kind of like a revamp of the original default Titan.
Well, the game's gold now, so
actually that's true. I don't know why it was.
Whatever, it's not there.
Yeah, and then
you'll get it on the disc. Who cares? You know.
And then you get a revamp of the ogre, like the heavy,
the default
flame themed.
Yeah.
God fucking damn it! That game is amazing, and it continues
really
to be
cool.
Amazing. Okay, so a lot of the stuff
you're
that
wearing
was,
a Titanfall shirt.
I am wearing a Titanfall shirt. A lot of the complaints that came up last time that you mentioned that people were saying.
Yeah.
Right? So there's two things. One, some of them were really not so much over-exaggerated, but they were misunderstood. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'll get into those. But then there were others that were like, they straight up went, yeah, we caught that. And we're fixing it for the beta 2.
I'm really glad that the directors straight up like acknowledged some of the movement speed things and are actively going to improve it.
Yeah,
because that's great. And it's nice to see them say, yeah, no, we okay, our bad. Yeah, our
increasing
that.
The level of Titan points that you get over time.
Well, having them actually be persistent.
Yes,
you know,
as opposed to just
purely
a kill streak.
Objective based.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
That one and like increasing like the momentum. that you keep and the speed that you gain when you're doing advanced movement maneuvers.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a serious one
like
to change.
Hooking a corner and swinging around it at full speed is everything I love.
It's cool.
It's everything I love.
This is kind of a side, but I'd actually want to talk about something you said a little more in depth about the way that they talked about this. It can't be oversold on how important the tone of your patch notes and interviews are. Like in regards to your game, because there was recently an FF14 like live letter where they talked about like here's what we're going to do going forward, and they were like we admit that we fucked up the current raid cycle and we made it too hard and we're sorry, we thought this was going to happen and this happened instead, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and everyone went, oh, that's really nice that they talk to us like human beings.
It matters a lot to hear that.
And you compare that to the way, like, say, Blizzard does their WoW patches.
Yeah.
Or how a lot of companies do their – or like Dark Souls does their fucking patch notes.
Yeah.
Where they're like, players seem to not appreciate the adjustments we made.
Where it sounds like –
it's really condescending.
Yeah. Mistakes were made.
And you're like – and you're like, people don't seem to actually be using this feature as intended. So we're going to mod – it's like, fuck you. You fucked up. Admit it.
And it's interesting because during the I think it all came out in an interview, I think.
Okay.
And during it, there are bits where they like stand by some of their changes and they say, like, admittedly, the level we put out wasn't reflective of, such and such thing.
Oh, the Titanfall stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that page on the I'm going to
Yeah, it was
to.
An interview, right?
No. It's a press release.
Oh, it's just perfect because it's like we changed the turning speed because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But then we found out that, like, it's actually worse on this, this, and this. So we're going to try and split the difference and you're like, thank you.
So the way they did it was they went like, complaint, this is the problem, paragraph explaining what you were just talking about, and then bold underlined statement, this is the fix, right,
if there was one for
right.
that. Yeah.
I also appreciate the difference between the tone of let's say, I remember when the Japanese translations were coming out for these Street Fighter updates when they were tweaking that over in 4 versus the way Rising Thunder did it.
Yeah.
Where, like, we got that letter that would come in that would just be like, hey, guys, so people are using Dauntless's DP in ways that we didn't intend because of this.
We never thought that you could use it to do this.
You're supposed to be able to do these things with it, and the pressure is supposed to be based on this type of gameplay.
Yeah.
So here we're taking that off.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, no. This is very clearly explaining.
It makes a nerf a lot easier to deal with, and I think the worst ever is the fucking Dark Souls patches. Because one recently came out, and you get the phrase, like, the following weapons have been adjusted.
And it's just
a list. And then you have to go into the Dark Souls Reddit to find the real patch notes of the guy who has two versions of the game running.
That's exactly what Street Fighters was. And that might just have to be with the Japanese way of handling
horrible.
That
Fucking horrible. Just the worst.
There's something to be said about the art of patch notes, and that some people are good and some people are bad at them. And, like... Not going to get specific, but I remember when I was working on Thief bugging the patch notes because I was like, these patch notes are ridiculous. They're clearly written by someone who only speaks French. Like, the grammar's all over the place.
Right.
The spelling's all over the place. They're
hard
listed
to
poorly.
Yeah.
You could understand them, but like, phrasing would go a long way here, and of course it was waived. It is a nothing bug. Once your game is shipped, you scrape for nothing bugs all day.
Yeah,
that's very normal.
But it's just like,
but like, there is an art to patch notes.
Yeah.
And good patch notes.
And you know what that art isn't? That art isn't various fixes have been implemented.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say
things have been adjusted.
Fuck.
Yeah, I was gonna say No Man's Sky's patch notes have been very frustrating because when I just look at them on PS4, it just says like something like that, and it's been, I think, 7 patches in a row where it's like various changes,
balance
to...
adjustments have been implemented.
I want the nitty gritty of every
potency and cooldown change and fucking,
and that's why Dawn of War patch notes deserve a fucking award.
Yeah,
they deserve an award. If you those things, dude, get into decimal points.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember. I also worked on one.
They
of
those. Were amazing.
They're so good.
Unbelievable. Probably the best I've seen. So,
like, listen,
absolutely.
If you have a game that people are going to be theory crafting on, they need that data. And if you don't if you don't give them that data, which we know you have, you're just making them have to dig it out themselves.
And which they're going to do.
And it's a bummer because, like, the first No Man's Sky patch had this exhaustive list
it did,
with spoilers and all, which is great, actually. But like when you look at it on a console, they just omit it and expect you to go to their website without telling you. You can just view them on the website.
Right, right.
Like if you would have just at least written view patch notes at X or whatever, as opposed to various changes have been who gives a fuck.
And
it would go a long way.
I want to give an extra special like thumbs down shout out to every game on Steam or PlayStation 4 or Xbox One that updates and then you hit the patch note button and it shows you the last patch. Because are no notes at all, and you end up having to go to fucking the Steam forum, and go, and there's a thread that goes that's called "What did that patch do?
Yeah. What was the change here?" No, totally.
Equal to Dawn of War is I would say Killer Instinct, because they ran a stream.
Yeah.
To go, what's different now.
Killer
about
Instinct's
the character,
just amazing, with
and we're
going to
walk you through it.
Yeah,
you're not getting the numbers, but you
we'll
are.
Show you the application.
You're getting the application.
Yeah, that's what 14 does as well. They usually have like a live show where they'll go down like all the features,
and that's great.
And then the nitty gritty ones are in the proper notes, and every potency change of every move and all that stuff.
And you get Keats inventing the word burf on live on stream. Yeah. It's not a buff. It's not a nerf. It's a burf.
The weirdest one about the 14 ones is that it includes all the way at the bottom a list of known issues.
Ah.
And it says, in this dungeon, occasionally you are going to fall through the world.
Huh.
We will fix it, but right now...
This is the patch that we have right now.
This thing is fucked.
Yeah. That's cool to be public
and
with that.
Known issues is always great to see.
Some of them
patches
will be hidden because they are exploits.
Yeah.
And you'll only find out about them in the fixed one of the next ones.
Right.
They're like, we fixed an exploit that allowed people to beat this boss without attacking it.
But it's really good for, like, you almost want to call it damage control, but it's not.
Transparency.
Because you see everyone being very understanding, even when they do talk about an issue like that. Like
I can't believe I ran into this bug.
Transparency helps a lot.
It's bullshit.
That's totally the right
and
word.
It's like, well, they actually warned you about that bug.
Yeah.
Like, we know how video games work, and we're not assuming that you think we're a magical factory that just spits out a disc.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's be real.
No, exactly.
If you have other companies that have exhaustive, fantastic patch notes, send it into the email so that we can have a get on it.
We'll applaud them.
Let us know which 4X game has the best patch notes.
Galsive has pretty good patch
notes. Let's have the 2016 Patchies.
Yeah.
Patch Awards. Patch Note Awards.
Would Killer Instinct win that?
KI
maybe
would probably win for 2016. Dawn of War 2 would
put
win
FF14
for whatever
up
year
there.
That
they're
was.
They're really good about it.
Overwatch
patch notes are fantastic.
The video?
I mean like the
video
when the notes on the Blizzard net launcher like
they go into the
explanation behind every balance change.
I really do think you need both to be like truly great.
Yeah.
Good notes count for a lot. Good video counts for a lot, but not having one or the other, I would say not having the notes is worse than not having
obviously,
the
video. Oh,
obviously. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because you're not going to put the decimal points in a video.
So you could still have a game with just the notes that's a contender if they were written well enough and detailed enough and thoughtful.
And if it's a competitive game at that, you know what I mean? There's so much more
the
there.
The difference between, like, I remember in the Witcher logs, it was like, fixed an issue in which such and such character would not spawn. That's a good one. Instead of fixed various quest progression errors with this quest.
Yeah.
It's like, because if you're stuck on that quest, you can tell at a glance whether or not your issue is fucking fixed.
Yeah.
And you can go back to the game instead of going back in and going, oh, it's actually still broken.
It's still not fixed. They fixed something later on.
So if you are going to send that in, send it with like a word like patchy nomination or something. And I'll
How do you spell patchy? P-A-T-C-H-I-E?
Or a Y?
We can put a Y.
I think a Y.
Let's go with a Y.
Y is more homey.
Yeah.
So the patchy.
Patchy awards.
Or patchy with an S.
Patchy with an I would be for the Patch-a-Slot Awards.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I was about to say we can't go there.
Just make sure to spell it like the word patch. Because when he searches for the word patch...
Yeah,
they'll get them all.
I'll be searching for nomination more than anything. But Titanfall 2, man.
Yeah, sorry.
So, sorry for that super long aside.
No, absolutely. It was a good discussion. But... So the main thing though was I remember hearing about the changes to mounting and how...
Because Rodeo's gone now?
Rodeo's not gone.
Okay, yeah. It's not gone. Not gone.
It was just what I... And like I said last time, I hadn't played it. I was just reading off forums. Yeah. So
Rodeo's not gone.
Some people got the impression that I played it and was lying, which I was like, no, I don't know where you're coming from.
It's just really different, right? And it's really different because they've basically went from... there being a system where you mount an enemy Titan and then you shoot into it and do a ton of damage and then you jump off.
That once.
Or you keep going.
Or you ride on your ally Titan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To a system where what you actually do is you jump on it, you steal a battery,
mm-hmm.
and then you are now holding a battery.
Yeah.
You can then take that battery and go and give it to a friend Titan.
Okay.
And keep his Titan alive longer. And that makes a difference in the game because you make a Titan in play. You keep a Titan in play longer. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas originally, Titans were kind of balanced to blow up like fairly quickly if people are all just targeting your ass.
Yeah.
You know? And so that – and when a Titan blows up, it drops batteries. There's different types of things that like basically allow batteries to exist on
when
the
you
map.
Steal a battery, it reduces their lifespan, I imagine?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
You take away from their shield.
How much?
Like, a decent chunk.
Like 25, 30%?
About 33 to 40%.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
That's a lot.
And if you jump on a Titan that's already has its battery stolen, you throw a grenade in there instead.
And does that just...
That just does damage. That just,
oh, only damage. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So... The battery system, it expands on the gameplay a lot, and it makes the interaction between being
That sounds a lot smarter.
In and out of your Titan work, right? And the thing is, too, that like because the game feels so good, you don't – like if you're not in a Titan, you're super okay with that because you don't feel like you're crippled on foot.
No, the player characters feel incredible in Titan. Like they did in the first game, too.
Yeah.
And they feel fucking amazing.
You're able to do so much on foot.
Yeah.
So being in there in the middle of a scrap, like it's a dangerous place to be. But like there's so much you can do. And the fact that you have this whole battery system and even one where you're piloting your own Titan and you're running low, you jump out, grab a battery and put it back in your own Titan.
Yeah.
And like you are more willing than ever to jump out of your Titan now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that in itself is a whole thing. The actual Titan abilities are still very strong, but it feels like maybe just based on the way things are set up now, you don't have the ability to defend yourself is reduced in some ways.
I remember reading that the map that they put out for the beta really emphasized long-range fighting and such, and thus they felt that it made close-range stuff and the Titan abilities feel less strong because it had... I haven't actually played a match, but I hear it's filled with more wide spaces.
Did you get to try out that Sword Titan?
No, that wasn't there.
Damn it.
Boomtown has a lot of cover and hallways
that's
in it.
All I want.
But then there's definitely an open field map where like you have snipers rule.
Because I remember that was in that same blog post
about
that. I
want to cut motherfuckers
so
with my robo sword.
I'm glad that the executions are in and there's new animations.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, like the one that I kept seeing was rip the arm off, like use it to beat the Titan down, open up the cockpit and point blank fucking like the barrel of the gun takes up the entire cockpit space and just fire like messy. You
fucking
know?
Yeesh, man.
Yeah, messy.
That happens a couple times in Gundam and it's fucking rough every time.
It's never going to not be rough. I haven't had a moment of dual eject into air battles but one day.
Yeah.
One thing that like you don't think of right away when it comes to the grappling hook is its application in battle. Not just swinging around on the map, but grappling a Titan and pulling yourself towards it as it's rounding a corner.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and so you combine the fact that you can use it as a weapon on people, but you can grapple on the back of an enemy Titan from far away, or like grapple the dropship to get away easier and stuff like that. And like,
oh, yeah, you can grapple the dropship. Yeah. That's cool.
But you can slingshot from way behind. Like if two Titans are fighting and you're behind your friendly, you can slingshot off of your friendly over through the air onto the enemy over there because the physics pull you that way.
Yeah.
And that dude is like fucking euphoric. I don't know what to call it.
Well,
you know?
Honestly, it makes me think of Freedom Wars a lot because like the level of freedom you get from a freely controllable grappling hook, like it's different from what you get from Spider-Man.
How's the
you know, it's a
how's
really
the
different
Aaron Yeager gameplay?
Oh, well, that's the question. Is like, well, here's the thing, because I was gonna in Freedom Wars, it's a hookshot, right? Like it pulls you in at the line point. But do you ever swing with it?
No, you don't swing.
You just go towards the point.
But I just mean like it's very different from like swinging and stuff like that. It having full control, like because the claw shot can only go on that air conditioner and fucking nothing else.
Yeah, okay.
In Zelda, like it's point based.
Yes,
but like in Freedom Wars and Titanfall,
it's on everything.
It's fucking anywhere, and it feels really liberating to be able to just do anything with it.
So what the hookshot is in Titanfall is it's both a swinging and a pulling.
Yeah, yeah, no, I do. I
depending on
that,
where
yeah.
you aim and how high above yourself,
and where you're moving at the time.
That's it.
Yeah,
that's what it is. You know, and so like that dude is the fucking addition of the year. Like it's the best.
So when you're swinging because you aimed way higher than yourself, does that mean you retract it? You'll shoot upwards, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
That
has a really high learning curve, right away.
But then you get into the other shit that you can get, which is like. It's because you pretty much like you almost only want to use the claw shot setup because it's like the others are really good, stim pack's good or whatever, but fuck, swinging is the best. If you
the hook shot or whatever the fuck it's called, grappling hook is a secondary item as opposed to healing items or what have
it's,
you.
It's every type of soldier that you pick. It's actually the look of your guy is that ability.
Okay,
and it's your main thing can do.
So
it's a class. Instead of your medic, your grapple bro.
Yes, your grapple guy is a class. Okay. Your stim pack guy is a class.
Okay, because like I would almost always play a medic in a game like that.
Having the grappling hook.
Grapple.
You combine this with the ability to levitate while you aim down the sights in midair, and now we have a fucking video game.
Yeah.
So at any point during your momentum, ADS, and you float, snipe in midair, do what you want to do.
Do you stop moving?
You stop moving.
Okay.
You stop moving, and then you know if your thing is charged up, find a new point to grapple to. Yeah. Otherwise, continue and
that's
fall.
That's been the general solution to all of these games that have like huge amounts of player aerial movement and aiming.
Yeah,
is that you just come to a fucking dead
just
stop
fucking yeah.
wherever the hell you
second.
Are as yeah. soon as you aim down your sights.
And this is it's reminiscent of what Bionic Commando's multiplayer was reaching. Yeah. And I know you look up.
No, but that game was really cool in the multiplayer.
But the truth is
yeah.
you would swing and snipe in midair and it was cool.
Yeah.
Right?
No, don't. I'm not like looking up because I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm looking up because like I had a fucking blast with that multiplayer.
It was so good.
It's amazing.
And no one touched it.
The skill ceiling is actually too high for most people.
It's crazy. I played it right up until like I couldn't find matches anymore,
right?
Which
right.
was fast.
So you take that now, and this is getting back to that moment of like I'm floating and grappling, but get grapple battling with people, and there's all kinds of other stuff that there's like the abilities you're gonna get and whatnot, and it just makes this whole thing work because you eject from a blowing up Titan, and everyone knows to look up and shoot your corpse.
That's where
out
you're
of
going.
Shoot your corpse out of the sky.
Yeah,
but. If you float, you fuck up that trajectory.
Yeah, you can eject and then immediately stop 1% into your eject.
Do what you need to. Like, there's an animation of going up that you have to go a minimum distance.
Sure, but like you can fuck up the momentum
because
it's a bell curve of momentum.
So everyone's camera goes way up and no one's there. You're down here, taking your shot, and then you're gone. You know,
it says a lot that we seem to be entering into a golden age of shooters because, I mean, this group. Is not the shooter group of dudes.
No.
Dude.
And like
for
Overwatch,
years, shooters have been really boring. Actually,
Overwatch and Titanfall. And for me, I don't know about you guys, but Battlefield 1 looks like
it does
fucking
look
fantastic.
Very good. I'm not going to.
But it looks fantastic in a very classic way.
Yeah.
Like Overwatch is the perfect. I'm going to come back to you every month
and for
a day.
I know you played it a bit. We didn't really get super into them, but even Call of Duty, like it's gotten much more interesting. Like when you started.
Oh, absolutely.
You go to Advanced Warfare.
Advanced Warfare is super cool.
Advanced Warfare is super cool. Black Ops 3 has a bunch of really cool stuff going on with its movement. Infinite Warfare as well. In fact, seems to have even more going on with its movement with all the space shit. Like,
well, it's because shooters went through this really weird trajectory. where there was that period in like the 90s where hyper realistic shooters were super popular.
Yeah.
And like the Counter-Strike style of like super, it's like super fast, super deadly, fuck you. But then they started to become more arcadey, but they still had all the fucking like simulation style rules of like you can't double jump or you can't do, and we're finally back to like
double
like
jumps.
Quake level, like, no, fucking teleport and double jump and because have a robot.
Yeah, when the big things were Quake, Doom, Unreal, then the realistic thing is different.
Yeah.
And then when realistic is everything, then it's refreshing to see, oh, look, it's Doom.
Yeah.
Call of Duty blew up too big. And too big. Fucked everyone.
Thanks,
for a while.
America's Army.
Yeah.
I still think Titanfall has the best post match thing ever.
Epilogue.
Yeah. Like, Killing Floor has something similar, I guess, but like just. Oh, yeah, Killing Floor 2 is really good, too. It just came
out.
That's
true, yeah.
Just, like, the dropship thing is the fucking coolest. There's so good.
So and the new main system of the new main gameplay system that they're pushing in this demo as well is really weird because it's like the random AI grunts are still there, and you can and what the thing is you shoot them for money, right? When you take out another player, you get a lot of money. When you take out a grunt, you get, like, $10.
That's fair.
Right? The money that you're holding... At the end of a phase of AI enemies, once they're all killed, the phase ends, and then you can go deposit that money in the bank for your team.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get your team up to $5,000.
Sure.
If you get killed by another player, they take half of what you're holding.
This feels like a specific mode.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And it creates a really interesting dynamic because you're playing...
Everyone is a flag? Like, kind of.
Everyone's kind of a flag. Some people have bounties on their heads because they've got a lot of money and stuff like that. And ultimately, you are like, you can focus on the AI and then hide. But at some point, going to deposit that means some dude's waiting at the bank to take you out.
Yeah.
And you've got to deal with that threat, you know? And so it changes a lot of the dynamic. And it's a really fun new way to play like a shooter. It's very different. Mm-hmm. And it might be something seen in other games that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
But this is the first time I've ever seen anything like it.
Battlefield Hardline.
Depositing at the bank. Yeah.
Devil's Third has like 12 gameplay modes, which is awful. Because you just fragment your user base like nothing else. But like Devil's Third did everything.
Okay. Also, the servers that you connect to are just straight up like networks named that were created by whoever wants to make one. So like you see like leading like Giant Bombs Titanfall Network.
Right.
Yeah.
Is one of the big ones. IGN up there. Right. You know, like Achievement Hunter, whatever.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So like.
So here's a question. Where are you going to play this game, Willie?
Where?
Yeah.
As in on
PS4
what?
PS4 or on PC?
I'm going to go full PC.
You're going to go PC?
Yeah. I was enjoying the PS4
demo. You
know,
it's super weird because you and I never, ever play Overwatch together. Ever. I don't even think I have you on my fucking Battle.net account.
But
I should probably add you to that.
Yeah, let's do it.
And like for Titanfall as well, because you're better at Titanfall than I am.
I've been going full Overwatch.
Yeah.
Esports.
I've fallen off a little bit. I'm waiting for the new patch to come out that has the new map.
Because
I don't play on the PTR because I fucking hate that.
I've been playing on the PTR.
Oh, you're sick.
We've been practicing.
You're fucking sick.
We've been practicing, man. It's coming together.
Fucking PTR.
Now that I, for the first time in my life,
oh, you bastard,
feel like I'm
you
playing the
bitch.
Game.
You're a fucking piece of shit.
It's the worst.
You're
I'm not going to defend it. I'm not going to defend it. If you thought I was going to come here and defend it, you're fucking wrong.
Like, for real, how is your left wrist?
It is more than fine because it's a Wiimote.
Oh, it's your... What?
It feels like
you're doing what?
It feels like a Wiimote.
Okay, explain to the people.
Here's what's going on, guys. All right. So I was playing Overwatch on the PC.
Human garbage.
With a controller like a madman.
Right.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Like, you were at a stated disadvantage.
Has everyone stopped recoiling? Good. Yeah. All right. No aim assist on the PC.
No.
Why would there be? The sensitivity...
This would be too good.
The sensitivity or too bad when Genji double jumps, the aim assist pushes
May
away.
Is stronger on the console.
So you got this whole thing where you put the sensitivity to the highest on a controller and you hold left or right and you're still not turning as fast as you would with a mouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just at a disadvantage. I started to feel that really hard, clearly.
Well, yeah.
All right. And it's like, and so the claim that it doesn't matter, just play Reinhardt.
No.
It's not true. No, because he still even turns as quicker. Reinhardt, yeah. your shield will not turn around as quickly as you want it to, right? So, and furthermore, like the spinning of your hitbox when you're swinging your, with swinging your hammer, your hitbox has corners. No, you want to get those corners out.
Anyone who
there.
Ever claimed that for any first person shooter has always been full of shit, and you should have never listened to them in the first place.
No, mouse and keyboard is better for FPS because the mouse is faster.
Yes.
So,
yes,
it's not, it's not as comfortable
it's
for
not
a lot
debate.
Of people.
Yeah.
But, and for other games.
Yep.
Yeah. It's different, but it's, for an FPS, it's not.
It's
a fucking,
not. It's not
on,
like
get out of here.
No. There's no debate. Yeah. Yeah. There's no. This
unlike
is,
unlike yeah. stick versus pad on a fighting game where yeah. they, you can do well, or relatively
or,
the same
or
things.
A stealth game,
right?
Keyboard.
Sure.
You don't want keyboard for a stealth game versus a stick, right?
But
actually, Chaos Theory had a really really fantastic mouse and keyboard
you'd use
control
the scroll
setup.
Wheel, right?
We used the scroll wheel to make him move faster. So
oh, really?
It yeah. was it was really precise.
Do you remember Hitman 1 on the keyboard? Dude,
yeah.
you had
yeah,
a
I
radial
do. Yeah, I do.
Of walk buttons.
It's
that went from slow walk to normal to run.
Yeah.
Expanding out from your WASD. It was madness.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
what scroll wheel's much better.
So I jump on the mouse and keyboard, but here's the thing. You know my setup.
Yeah.
I'm on a couch. I've got an
armrest. I bought this couch that we're sitting on for mouse and keyboard play, and that's why I have this big armrest.
I see
perfect.
That fat armrest.
I sat down and checked all of them yeah. until I was like, yeah.
Never
and, I put my feet up, and I can balance my keyboard perfectly on my lap, so it's
never
fine.
Never thought
but,
about it once,
but
because
you don't
why
have,
the
you,
fuck
you,
would
you,
I?
You have a squishy couch.
And I don't play first-person shooters, so why
yeah.
would I care about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you do now.
Now I'm in there, and I'm like, this is not working. And I'm using my mouse, and I'm using my keyboard. And the mouse is, I'm like, all right, that's there, that's fine.
The keyboard's kind of flopping.
The keyboard's flopping, and I can't, I have the problem where I can't fucking reliably get my hand on WASD.
You,
and
don't,
I know,
have, you don't have your home keys burned in?
And I, exactly. And I know that it's like, yeah, well, you're a scrub. You don't have enough practice on it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's true. But I'm just not comfortable in the middle of that sea of keys, and I know how to type, no problem, and I can find the little indentation.
Yeah, but like your two-handed home keys are not the same as your left-handed,
and it
home
matters
keys.
So much more. So when I accidentally press E instead of W, that's a problem.
Yeah,
right. And I know that you can put the little stickers to kind of, you know, do whatever and whatnot, but ultimately I'm like, this is still on my lap and it's not comfortable. So
you would have to go through a relatively significant learning process.
My next step was, how's keypads, guys? Anyone ever do that thing? And I asked about it, so people sent some answers.
They're not great.
It seemed like there were at least two types that would have been okay for me. However, they're both made for tables. They're not made for your lap.
No.
You know, the way your wrist wraps around it.
Like, you want the Phantom lap board.
I saw one of those. I saw one of the crazy dinner tray fucking setups yeah. you could get going. And I was like, oh, God, please don't let me have to stoop to this level. Then one game, jokingly, after fucking going, everyone's like, I'm playing with the guys, and they're like, so how's it going, Willie, on the keyboard? And I'm like, I fucking hate it, right? And at one point,
it's terrible because you can feel the power in your left hand, but you can feel the jank in your left.
It's so bad.
Sorry, you can feel the power in your right hand. You can feel the jank in your left hand.
And my pinky's on left shift, and like, I don't mean to tap it, but I do accidentally, and then I do a Reinhardt charge, and I'm like, fuck everything about
yeah.
this. I'm done. I grab the controller again.
So now you're
again.
On steering wheel and pedals.
I grab the controller again, but I don't let go of the mouse. And I okay. and I'm like, hold on a minute.
Do you lie the controller on your
on
leg?
My lap? On
okay,
my lap,
yeah, okay.
right? And I'm like, hold on a minute. The game is letting me do this and continue to look around.
So,
but the HUD is freaking out.
Yeah.
The HUD is
yeah,
freaking the fuck
yeah,
out.
Yeah,
of course, because
yeah,
every course. Time you hit a button, it tries to switch to the other one.
And it's doing it the whole time, right? But I'm like, but I'm moving.
Yeah.
And I'm shooting, and it's working. Hold on a minute. Take a moment. Refigure it out. See what I can do to make the buttons I need appear in the places they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get that ridiculous screenshot that I posted of, this is Wooly's configs for Overwatch. And it worked, and it felt good. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
It became immediately apparent that having your D-pad set to your E and your left shift is stupid because you have to take your thumb off the stick to use
yeah,
them.
Yeah, that's right.
The biggest flaw in the game,
yeah.
right? So immediately after posting
that... Oh my
that,
God, is that how it is on controller?
No.
Having the D-pad with your...
No, not by default.
Okay.
It's not. It's shoulder button, but because he only has one half of the controller,
I lose those faces buttons,
yeah.
right? So immediately after posting that, within the hour... I get up, I go over to Best Buy, I buy myself some fucking esports headphones, and I get a mouse with more buttons on it.
Yeah.
Right?
More button mouse was always going to be one of the paths that you were on. Like, where the fuck is my mouse? Like, my mouse has, it's like, two extra buttons on the side.
Yeah.
And but you only really need one of those, and it helps.
So I get, and I didn't go for one of those crazy ass transformer robot thingies.
No, those are too much. You don't need that. Don't want the Razer Naga or whatever.
Yeah. It wasn't that. That was for MMOs or whatever. Like, yeah. I just got the one that has the two extras on the side where your thumbs go, and that's ability one and ability two.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
where your thumbs go on each side of the mouse.
Yeah, both of them.
And so then here's the question.
Well, Overwatch,
you know, Titanfall's button layout.
It is way more involved than Overwatch's.
And, like, is this going to work?
I don't know. But I'll figure it out.
Because there's a couple problems you're going to run into. One, that's a severe lack of buttons. Because if you're using mouse controls, mouse controls are built to only have, like, two or three buttons on the mouse and have everything else be on the keyboard.
I'm using the wheel as well.
Yeah, but still, right?
Wheel up, wheel down, wheel press.
And, like, Overwatch is really fantastic with its controller support that has the quick switch.
But it's so simple in the game.
But not all games are going to do that. Are going to quick switch.
For sure.
Some games you're going to set to one or the other, and this thing isn't going to work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, I would still highly suggest that you drill down and work on mouse and keyboard, because this is, you're going to hit a game that you really want to play.
It's a skill. And you can put that on your resume.
And you're not going to be able to play it in the way that you want.
So the main fear I had with this,
like the first Witcher game.
Yeah, like the first Witcher.
The main fear I had with this was the same problem I had with, like, learning a weird arcade stick was the moment the moment it broke.
Yeah, because you used an octagonal gate.
Yeah.
You'd forget your stick.
Or, the moment you don't have your setup.
And all of a sudden you'd be like, well,
you're done.
I can't do my thing on everyone else's stick.
It's you're done. You're fucking done. And I don't want that to happen to me again. But I did see that, like, even without that, all the buttons on the mouse, there is, remember that? So did you see that creepy thing I posted, which is the PS2 mouse pad attached to it fucking thing, or PS3 thing? That's real. And that company exists, and they have been refining their product over the years, and they now have it down to what is essentially a nunchuck.
Okay.
And
is that what you're doing?
That always
it's a USB nunchuck, and I might just be going that way.
What's it called? Because I want to pull this up and get a look at it.
God damn it, I forget the name.
Oh, well, but good job. That was a really good segment.
But I mean, if you, it's like,
I'm sure they appreciate the plug.
Well, yeah, I haven't gotten the actual thing yet. But it's like if you look up, like, PS3 mouse controller, and then you find that company's picture of their product, and then you find their new stuff. It's just a nunchuck for PC on USB.
This thing.
So you're looking at.
I'm looking at the Splitfish Frag Effects PS3 controller.
Okay, Splitfish is the company.
Oh my god, this thing is a nightmare.
So this thing.
That's an older one, but that's one of them.
Okay, but effectively.
But that's effectively
thing?
That, yeah.
It's basically like a...
Oh yeah, I see it.
Splitfish is the company. They have a couple versions. They have a couple versions of it.
Buddy.
You really...
This is sad.
You're really in there, huh? This is...
Like this thing?
That's the one.
That's a fucking path you got going on.
The main deal is a thumb going up, down, left, right on the stick is, for me, better than WASD is.
Yeah. Well, it is better. Period. Because your
stick does more.
It's an analog control system versus a digital control system.
Yeah.
It is better. And the reason why that's okay for WASD is because the mouse is infinite analog, 360 in both axes.
Yes.
So that totally makes up for any of that digital movement. But the primary strength of the keyboard is that your fingers can move 1 centimeter and hit like 6 extra keys.
It's like a hitbox.
And you have all the extra buttons.
Yeah, it's like a hitbox.
E, Q, Z, X, C, F, and E.
Also.
Shift. I don't know the layout of the keyboard, but I can do that in my brain because that's a whole extra controller's worth of buttons within a centimeter.
My brother originally had something that looked like a mouse, but it was stationary, and at the tips of the fingers were all these extra buttons.
Yeah.
And he had the thing like that. That's a weird thing I'm probably not going to do. But what's nice is freaking people out by slow walking on the PC version, which is something that nobody can do.
Yeah, because everyone just hits the key.
So they go, what the fuck? Wooly, are you disconnected? Are you still there? What's happening? And I'm like, I'm just walking slow.
Yeah. Anyway. No, that's a definite
thing. That is,
thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Anyway, I'm right now.
I wish you luck, but I worry about, like, say, Titanfall. Yeah,
I worry about your future.
And the truth is I'm going to take it a step at a time and do what needs doing when it comes to that bridge.
And if you find a game that you're like, I want to play this, but my options don't work, you're going to try and figure out a different, like, lap board or...
I'll figure something out.
Or a little tray set up or something.
I'm never going to be fucking sitting on the stage fighting whatever the nine...
Group Nazis?
No, what are they?
Day 9?
Day 9.
Cloud 9.
Cloud 9.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, or whatever. Like, I saw the ESL Invitational. There was cloud some crazy ass strats that were going down on that thing. And I'm watching competitive, but I'm never going to fucking be at that point. So.
Yeah, no, watching Overwatch competitive makes me feel like shit. Like, it's a fucking
watching
different game.
Any shooter competitive.
It's a different game.
But I learned so much from it.
Just give up on life.
Or just watching Seagull videos, man. Yeah. That dude's fucking crazy. Anyway.
I remember there was a video for Overwatch that came out like relatively early. It was like an El Dorado map overview. And it showed off that little ledge that you can jump over with Genji and Reaper.
Sure.
To get in the back of the first point. And I remember my brain just... How I lost the past 10 matches on that map. I didn't know that thing existed.
Yeah.
The game is so offense heavy that when you learn how to defend properly, it's night and day.
It's weird.
It's night and day.
Well, like, what's the fucking... Oh, God. What's the... King's Way. On King's Way, my favorite still, because I mostly play as Pharah, is right at the end where when you're attacking, you drop in the hole and you boost back out the hole next to the capture point.
Right, okay.
That's still my favorite
one. So now on the new...
I've never seen that.
On the new map, there's a hole where you can do that,
similar
thing.
Jump in the death hole, keep hover, boost out the other hole, and... kill everyone.
Only her, and I bet
D.Va
could do it. Probably
D.Va could,
but it'd be iffy.
Ferret's really reliable.
Shout outs to the Junkrat that did a chain pull on a nerf this that was about
I'm
to.
I'm gonna
blow
imagine
up
you
point.
Mean Roadhog.
Yeah,
sorry,
otherwise
Roadhog.
Really,
sorry,
really
sorry.
Good Junkrat.
I always fucking
really
say the
good.
Well, they're the same
player.
Like class type. Like
Roadhog jumping or getting blasted into the pit hole. Before he dies, sees a nerf this D.Va.
Mine.
Pulls her in with him.
Oh.
That's the real Reinhardt, like, savior moment there. But anyway.
Yeah, because it's really selfless, because it's like, no, it's mine. Give it to... Oh, I will take it.
Wooly, if he would have done it, like, a fraction of a second, he just would have killed everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Because he would have pulled
it. They would have died anyway.
He would have pulled it to Daisy Cutter level, and it would have gotten
an extra
kill. And
it would have just murdered everyone.
They would have died anyway.
Don't you think that's unsafe, Wooly?
They would have died anyway. He did it.
I'm just joshing you because of the Reinhardt thing.
Okay. Hey, quit joshing him.
Yeah.
So shooters are good now.
Yeah, man. I'm enjoying them, and I don't know what's happening to this world. It's so fucking not what I expected. But
I'm playing an MMO. You're playing shooters.
And I'm playing shooters on the patch build to find out what the patches are like. On the new maps that are not released yet.
And I'm thinking, it's like, I just made fun of you for playing on the PTR.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, if 14 had a PTR, like WoW has a PTR, I would live on that fucking thing.
Dude, you want to know. You need to know.
It's like, I remember the PTR currently has a bug with the way rankings work with healers, and it's super fucked up in that if you play Lucio entirely, you don't, but say you do, right? And you go on with your team of your friends. And you do your 10 placement matches, right, for Season 2?
Right.
Your friends, if you're a decent team, your friends will all be ranked higher because healer skill is contingent on amount healed. And if your team is doing well, you can't heal them.
Oh, interesting.
So you'll end up getting ranked lower, and then you will not be able to play with them anymore.
Because you're not in the same category.
That makes sense.
And they're like, okay, we got to fix this. This is fucking
stupid.
That's
going to take some thinking.
Yeah. The way they do play the game and the way they determine like how good you're doing in your given class is how much you're on fire a lot of the time.
Yeah,
how much fire you gain.
Then it comes down to like what causes each character to become on
fire. To become on fire, and then you get granular.
Like Roadhog, I'm pretty sure one of his things is taking damage gives him fire, but dying wipes some of his fire. So as long as you're getting hit, same thing dying. With Ryan Reinhardt's shield. As long as it's getting hit, but you're not actually dying, your fire goes
out. Right. That would make sense given what the intended use of the character is. But yeah, that was pretty much me, man.
Okay.
So Matt
will tell us about his fantastic cruise and vacation next week. And so I guess we're into the news. No, I was going to do a Mr. Caffeine thing.
No, you got to do.
I've been thinking about Mr. Caffeine a lot lately.
You know, we talked about him recently, and
very recently.
Like, boy, his script was a mess. Too.
In fact, we talked about 8 minutes ago.
Oh, that was when that was when it went live.
Yeah, that's about 8 minutes ago. Mr. Caffeine,
pull back that curtain a little.
Hey, Pat. What's up? It's getting a little ashy in here.
Getting a little ashy.
Lots of ash.
Coating
these surfaces here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I gotta get some moisturizer.
Could that be the ashes of Ariandel?
It could be. Boy, that looks good. That DLC trailer for the Dark Souls looks good. And yes, Lucky Ted will return to continue his adventures. This time he'll be properly named Lucky Ted. I gotta get that character up to speed. the Dark Souls community is like powering up over time, and the Dark Souls franchise or whatever, this exact method of making games has to start to go away, because like the speed at which people tore this trailer apart was like in 10 minutes.
People had figured
out where it is, how you access it, what item lets you go there, who that character is, what set is that guy wearing. It's just like,
for a second, I thought you were talking about how the world is so, everyone's so huge that it's like a warning incoming game, and everyone is just beefed up standing around the cube
waiting for that DLC
to drop, and it's like, it has no chance.
People are going to tear through them.
Oh, instantly.
Everyone's huge. All you see is deltoids from space.
Like, depending on how huge Lucky Ted is, we might be able to blow it out in, like, one day.
Like, the Old Hunters was really hard, but even then...
Oh, man, the Old Hunters was fucking hard!
But even then, that didn't stop anyone.
Yeah. Ludwig stopped a bunch of people.
Because they were on stupid new Game Plus levels that made it ridiculous.
Not to mention the Party Cave with Bloodstarved and friends.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da. Looks really cool.
What is going on in this trailer?
This trailer shows off a snowy area. Mm-hmm. It shows off a painter little girl that's going to be probably core to it. It shows off a guy in the Forsworn set going like, "Hey man, you got to go down to this place and show my Lady Flame." It shows off some bosses, one of which is like flagellating themselves.
A couple of bosses we've seen before.
The trailer has bosses we've seen before.
Yeah,
and there's like a very royal theme along the bosses that are in that trailer, mm-hmm. which makes you think like, oh, was that boss at the very end of that little montage possibly part of royalty that has been absent from all of the games? Like, Nameless King is a boss that mm-hmm. has been mentioned but mm-hmm. was never there.
Yeah.
And this might be the other one that is mentioned but was never there.
Right.
We thought they were there, but they weren't.
They weren't, yeah.
We get to see a Lord Vessel?
Yeah, you get to see like a big, giant gold one. There's a lot of cool stuff in there, and when we did DS3, the LP, we were talking about the DLC from time to time. I was like, I bet that one of those DLCs is going to be somewhere totally new, and one of them is going to be a place we've already been, like, explicitly, like mm-hmm. the way the Anor Londo thing is. And this is that second one. This is absolutely a place we have already been 100%. They use a goddamn... One of the preview screenshots is like the same as one of the Dark Souls 1 preview screenshots. It's even framed the same. I'm very excited to go back to that location. Also, wolves!
Did you see the wolves?
The wolves?
Yeah. Wolves.
I didn't know. I watched the trailer like once. I didn't...
I didn't
pour through it. I watched it, and I wasn't even really watching it. I was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna buy this. I'm gonna play.
What does this trailer matter?
Like, it doesn't
like,
even matter.
Doesn't even matter. Yeah. Like,
okay. The thing of note.
I don't find Dark Souls trailers interesting because, like, what I like about Dark Souls is the desire to explore, mm-hmm. and the trailers don't give me that at all. It's a quick montage of like fast snap cuts and stuff.
Yeah. New enemy.
I don't know. The Dark Souls trailers don't excite me.
The only thing of note about that wolf is that there's the shot of the wolves and there's a shot of a wolf like howling.
Yeah.
And the trees next to that wolf are really small.
Yeah.
And you're like, huh.
Right, the wolf. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. The tree. Like, I'm like, oh, that's a wolf. And then I look at the trees, and the trees are, like, really tiny. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, huh. Mm.
I really want, like, their last Dark Souls DLC. You know, they've all been great, right? I really want the last one to just be the, like, We Give Up DLC, where there's just, like, it's all just heavily reused stuff.
And all stars.
There's a room where you fight four dancers at once. Like, it's just the We Give Up DLC.
That was...
Fuck you, we're out of this bitch.
That DLC. Was, exactly. That was the second DS2 DLC.
Perhaps.
Fight Smelter Demon again.
I never went back for that one.
That was not fun. You did get the cool sword though.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
Fucking there's a Viking in that trailer, man.
Yeah. Looks cool. He uses a cool variant of the prayer explosion move that looks like Firestorm. Looking forward to it.
Looks good.
Not much to say other than it
looks really good.
It's coming out. It'll be coming out on October 21st, which means
25th.
Look forward to the LP.
It'll probably Dark Souls LP will probably come back right after Shitstorm or maybe a week later.
Yeah.
Because that'll give us time to build up.
Let's take a little time, yeah. Because
probably gonna do the whole thing and then upload it.
What? No.
Why would we do that? I don't know. Why
no.
would you do that?
We cherish. Our
if you
feedback.
Enjoyed the Dark Souls 3 LP at all, you should check out Googly Gareth's amazing animation of the Lucky Ted Adventures.
That was good stuff.
That's Googly Gareth on the YouTube.
Funny enough, not even focusing as much on like the skeleton ball as you.
Well, there's a little.
It's mainly a force. It's a 3-second loop.
Yeah.
Well, as stupid as it is, the moment that he animated is my favorite part of the whole LP. It's so ridiculous. It's so nuts.
It's pretty goof.
And that was the first episode.
Oh my god, it was the first session. That's true. Hmm. Interesting.
The second favorite moment is in the second episode, which is Mimikun.
It's all downhill from there.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I didn't see this one coming, but PlayStation Now coming to PC?
That's fucking weird.
Yeah, it's I guess options
and
are good.
And fucking finally, DualShock 4 USB wireless adapter.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
God damn it took you long enough.
So associated with that is not the ability to
plug in the
to
USB
do an X input
drivers.
Yeah. Okay,
which sucks on that level.
And the recent Windows anniversary update on Windows 10 broke DS4 tool and input mapper. There are a couple ways you can fix it, and I had to look for a while to find this. So the easiest way to fix this, to fix exclusive mode in DS4 tool or input mapper or any of those, is to find whatever your PS4 controller is in your device manager, stop the program you're running, disable it, and then re-enable it. And as long as it's connected and you don't restart your computer, it will work fine with exclusive mode.
Wouldn't it be like hilariously petty if like after this came out, Windows updates just always broke Sony's official software?
That's what Tim Sweeney has been talking
about. That's what he's been predicting.
He's been saying that Windows like conveniently breaks like third-party applications.
And going forward, it's going to conveniently break more.
That being
we'll
said, this is a bug with Windows 10 and it's file name path or whatever. And it has been an ongoing thing for the entirety of Windows 10. Every other patch fixes or breaks it.
Yeah.
God fucking damn it. I thought I had it in my notes, but it's gone.
Yeah.
There is – because I find that like the
– That being said, you don't need that wireless adapter. You can use any Bluetooth adapter.
So here's – here's the thing. I was going to say that like one, just plugging in a USB-B cable into that and then plugging it into your computer and getting drivers would have been the right way to go about this.
Yes.
But –
That does whatever. Work. Like it currently works for remote play on PC.
Yeah.
It will currently
download a driver.
Yeah.
But that's not the driver you want. You want the bootleg driver that tricks things into working.
Most games, at least the games on Steam and stuff, don't work directly with that plugged
in though. I'm just saying that if you boot the remote play PC application that Sony developed, it prompts you
to
plug one in and it works.
It is a direct input device and you can program your game to work.
Okay.
No Man's Sky, FF14, and Witcher 3, to my knowledge, all work natively with the PS4 controller. And there's they brought out a patch for FF14, I think, last year that gave you PlayStation button prompts, even PS4 button prompts.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that.
Which was before PS4 controller support was added. Which was the really weird one.
That's
because a lot of people must have been playing it with DS4 tool or something. And Witcher 3, to my the patch that's supposed to come out today adds PS4 controller prompts if you want to. So it's becoming a lot more common over time. I think Shovel Knight, actually, also.
Oh, maybe.
But it's never going to be as ubiquitous as Xbox.
It's not universal. No, it's not universal.
So you're always going to want your either Xbox X360 CE or input mapper or DS4 tool.
Well, there's a thing out there, and this is what I was going to bring up. There's a program called Toka Edit, Xbox 360 controller emulator.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is used at the weekly Street Fighter meetups that we go to. And they have all PC copies of Street Fighter V playing, and everyone plugs in whatever the fuck they're holding, and they all work. So DualShocks go in, PS4 sticks go in, PS3 sticks go in, anything. And this thing it takes all of it and remaps it. Toka Edit. And it takes it and emulates an X input 360 controller. And it fucking works, man.
That's cool.
And like having seen this setup work on, again, 8 stations, sitting down with the weirdest shit, and it's all been fine.
Like, this looks like something similar to X360 CE.
Actually, it is. Yes.
It is X63.
Yeah.
I just didn't know that it was called Toka Edit.
Okay.
No, this thing's awesome.
It's amazing.
This thing's awesome.
It's so good.
Basically what it does is that when you set it up properly, you plug it in and you run the DLL, and it'll create a personalized emulation batch for that particular device.
Yep.
And your guys must have set it up with like 10 different fucking things that they can plug
whatever
in.
Whatever you need.
That thing's great. It's what I was using for Dark Souls 3 when DS4 tools stopped working.
Okay, yeah. I stand by that. I've seen it work with every controller.
And you know it works because when the program turns on, you hear like that little ping that says it connects.
Hardware has been plugged in, exactly.
The only problem with it, there's only one problem with that compared to the other ones, is that, say, DS4 tool and input mapper take your direct inputs and turn them into X inputs and then translate them into regularized inputs and then go to the game. X360 CE reads your in-game inputs and then translates them via a DLL into the proper inputs. And some games, like Dark Souls, can occasionally freak out because it's actually touching the game, whereas the other ones are completely separate.
Oh, okay.
Like, in a fighting game, it doesn't matter, but in games that have really particularly stringent anti-cheat, it is actually touching the game a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
And
okay,
it can freak out. People did report they were got banned from a 360 CE on Dark Souls. I'm not sure if that's accurate, because every time you see somebody say they got banned for something, it turns out they were cheating.
They always omit the trainer on the side or whatever.
Yeah, right.
But external software.
It is a little more internal.
Okay. Interesting.
But there's a lot of options now, and they work a lot better than they used to. Even the workaround for tool and input mapper is not that big of a hassle anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The impression I got when we were using it was that it was straight up just emulating a controller and not at all touching the game. But
The issue that I had with 360 CE is when I was using for Street Fighter V, because I was using it to get my Hori sticks to work with it, is that if I had Hori sticks on it and I plugged in a Hori stick and then I plugged in a 360 stick right next to it, occasionally they would not play nice together.
Right.
Because the DLL was about translating direct input and X input, but then I had X input.
Right.
And it would get weird. But there's workarounds if you spend a little more time. The guys at your meetup probably spent a lot of time like making it perfect.
Because it's worth it.
Yeah, because it's worth it. It's fucking great. And like the best part about it is that when you run it in the game's directory, have you ever had hands on with it, or you just use it as
use it at the stations.
When you run it in the game's directory, it's all like user created templates. So it'll search their database and go, oh, here's the config that you use for Shadow of Mordor, or here's the config that you're supposed to use for RE5.
Yeah.
And you go and it'll just search from their database and you click okay, and that's perfect. But if you want, you can change it. You can change it at a base level.
Right. Yeah, that's a good ass program. But in general, though, PS Now, you can stream PS games.
I don't know.
On your PC, and we'll see how that works.
Like, I think that's cool that you can play PlayStation games on PC. Cool.
I don't think I'll ever use it. PlayStation Now does actually work really well with a good... Like, I did test it when it first came out on Vita and stuff, just to try.
I should test it with my internet.
Yeah, it's worth testing. Because
I have fiber, so I just, like...
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the most optimal of conditions.
No, it's worth testing. Pay for a four-hour, like...
Whatever.
...trip through Resident Evil 4 or whatever.
Code Veronica.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Code Veronica is great because it's not like that action-y of a game, but at the same time, if you don't have like really solid controls, you can't kill all those zombies at the beginning with the knife.
Well, so I tried a couple games just out of curiosity over time. I think I spent like a grand total of like $10 on like rentals.
Mm-hmm.
I tried Resident Evil 5 the first day it came out,
mm-hmm.
and there were some connection foibles on the first day that I noticed. And then I played Resident Evil 4 a little while later, and it was a significantly better experience. The best experience I ever had was ironically not with a great game. And it was when it came out for the Vita, I was like, okay, it's a wireless connection. No matter what I do, like the connection's going to be a little worse because of this. So I played Final Fantasy 13 and downloaded my like complete save and just went and ran around and stuff, and it was great for RPGs.
Fucking
it was really good for RPGs.
Barfenhausen.
So the most immaculate experience I've had streaming was streaming Yomi from my PC to my tablet because it's a fucking card game.
Yeah. And anything that's like an RPG or a card game or
just
turn-based
fucking do
or whatever,
it works. Yeah.
It's fine. Exactly.
I mean, it's a cool thing that exists that I'm probably never going to use.
No. But if you're out there and you only have a PC... You can get your free 14-day thing and beat Last of Us.
It's a you know? Really, like, Microsoft is shockingly to me going forward and putting everything on PC. It's what I've been asking for like a decade, right? And their Universal Windows platform is definitely not the best, but it's getting there.
Right?
It'll be fine eventually, right? Yeah. It's not games from Windows Live 2. When I said that, I was busy.
No, it there's been some shit, but it totally.
And this is a nice like Sony variant of like, well, we don't own the fucking Windows platform, so we can't do that.
Yeah.
Let's do something. And these are both great.
Definitely.
It has become a lot easier to just own a PC as a result of these things.
Yeah.
If you have really good internet.
I how interesting would it be to see like PSVR on like Sony TVs. Could you imagine that?
Well, you would need. Didn't they sell their TV division? Or
they did sell it, I think.
Okay,
yeah. No, I'm not sure. But even then, you would need the hardware, which isn't. It's not in the TVs.
Even to just stream the video and like take USB input.
Well, I mean, like, what do you mean PSVR on a TV then? Because if you want to play a game or whatever...
You need the guts of that runs it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Okay, that's true. Right, yeah. Right.
Because if you mean streaming VR, that sounds like a recipe for throwing up.
No.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that streaming games is like going to be this big push, and then VR is becoming the new big push, and that tech is completely
so
incompatible.
Yeah.
That will never fucking work.
Yeah.
I misspoke.
Okay.
I meant to say... PlayStation Now on your
it is on TVs. Smart TVs
absolutely.
Have it already.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? That's a good idea.
That's smart.
Hotels have it too. Some hotels
that's
have
a great
it.
Idea
that's
because really, for people that don't play a lot of games, they just fucking
that's
put,
an answer.
Put it on a controller.
That's
and as far as hotel video gaming is concerned, this fucking makes those N64s completely obsolete.
Oh, God. You remember those like hotel fucking
put
consoles?
More quarters in the N64.
Yeah,
exactly.
Play Radical Dreamers.
Fucking fuck.
Yeah.
And the weird like hybrid, not quite an N64 controller.
Were those called like LodgeNet or something?
Home Suites Lodge. Ah, God, whatever.
Anyway, fuck those.
It's like, I don't want my N64 controller with a menu button on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
I wonder if that USB receiver they're going to put out with that is also a unified Bluetooth receiver.
It's worth it.
Because the Bluetooth receiver I have sucks.
Oh, yeah.
And I would like a better one that is Sony branded that officially works with the controller.
What's nice is that if you do get this whole PC controller setup going, you can finally perhaps use it to enjoy Mortal Kombat XL on PC.
Yeah.
Because the beta...
Very... Very surprised.
The beta came out of nowhere and is live right now.
Very surprised.
You know what? At least they did it.
Yeah.
At least they did it.
Yeah, so, no, it's great.
They finished their plate.
So all the shit...
Well, technically not yet.
All the dirt-ass shit that I talked was still valid then.
Yeah,
but
totally.
But it's no longer valid now.
Yeah, because they fixed the problem.
Because they're like...
They are in the process of
someone
fixing the
must have been like, no, this is shitty. Like, mm-hmm. this will hurt RPC sales bad.
People that cared enough went and got it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But XL, PC.
Mr. Boone.
You did good job.
Take credit for this so that people can give you thumbs
up. Even though he possibly didn't do it, but yeah.
He was like, I don't want it on the filthy PC.
He talks too much.
But on the note of like connection, I guess, integrity, we're seeing that KOF 14 has some netcode issues.
Yeah, it does.
And
what
a lot of people were asking me at the most recent like meetup was like, what do you think of KOF 14? I'm like, pretty good. Doesn't look great, but plays awesomely.
I haven't played it since it came out.
And then the question that follows is, okay, you say it's good, but is it $80 good?
Yeah.
And
because Canada, like, remember our foreign viewers.
And I go, woof. In response.
I mean, the answer is like, is any game $80 good?
No.
Is Mankind Divided $80 good?
Well,
maybe.
That's just
if the net code is perfect, yeah. then it becomes
an easy recommend.
Easy.
But
right now it's not. Strangely enough, though,
what's the core problem? Is it disconnects or is it lag?
It is lag.
Yeah.
It is not disconnects. It is lag happening on every mode except for what's it called? Like group play, which is a weird thing where it's like there's
like a bunch of people in a lobby.
A bunch of people playing, and it's like there's one mode that like it works fine. And basically they came out and said like...
that feels like a bug.
Yeah. So yeah.
Feels like there's an integer that's in the wrong
something's
place.
Something's off. And, yeah. And they came out and said, yeah, actually, so the way that works is supposed to be every mode.
Yeah, really?
Something's off, so a fix is coming.
Okay.
You know? But like, yeah.
The idea of a King of Fighters game with decent net code makes my wiener big.
Well, I mean, not counting the...
Not that big, but...
The, you know...
Somewhat big.
The ROM dump, like, net setup.
A legitimate
setup.
I hate that fucking nonsense. It's always so fucking busted and ghetto.
Dude, when we booted up that fucking Metal Slug and Last Blade PC port...
Yeah, those are rough.
And opened up the files
.mu,
saw
man.
The straight up zip files...
Here's the ROM.
Taken off the internet.
Downloaded from coolroms.net.
Fuck like, you guys. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. You just sold me a ROM. You know?
There's nothing wrong with selling ROMs
if
you do good work. .mu's ports were so shoddy, like...
It's
like Mega Man Legacy Collection's great, and it's just ROMs.
Yeah.
But it's great, because they did a lot of work around it.
But like, what...
.mu ones
But
suck.
What is, like, my moral obligation to not download the ROMs that you just downloaded?
Or, no, way simpler than that. Just take the file out and put it in a different emulator's folder.
That works.
Which actually is straight up what's there, you know? It's crazy. It's crazy that that's what it came to, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
Barfenhausen. Anyway, so there's that, and there's the fact that, this is nice. Ubisoft says that the Division DLC is currently on hold because they're actually spending time to fix the core game.
That game's a mess.
At the high level, anyway.
So the 1.4 patch is going to just focus on fixing shit.
That game.
You'll get your DLC later.
It's been a while coming.
I'm sure we talked about this when it came out, but do you remember during the beta for the PC when a guy went in there and said, every single value in this game is stored client-side. They better fix this before release or this game is going to be a train wreck. And then they didn't do that.
Well, they probably couldn't.
And the game like is a hacking bug exploit. Like, 'cause it has a huge player base.
Yeah.
And people are going hard at it.
Yeah.
And the game has holes that you can just exploit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's good that they're focusing on that.
Those aren't even the issues, though. The issues are like the high-level balance stuff the real problems are.
Yeah.
And people have been complaining about that stuff for months, so it's good that they're going to try to address that.
Enjoy your MMO audience, Ubisoft.
Yeah. Well.
And actually, like, you know, not do the, like, the not double down on the stank, you know, by going, here's some more content.
No, we fucked up. We're going to, like, legit delay the DLC to try to fix some stuff. That's good.
That's a good move. Good move. Other good moves include the announcement of Squanchtendo.
Yeah. That's
a VR that's game a company. Company by the co-creator of Rick and Morty and a dude from Epic Games.
A girl from Epic Games, but yeah.
Squanchtendo. It's real. That's what it's called.
Their mascot's kind of cool.
Is it Squanchy?
It's not Squanchy.
Oh.
But it's two dudes that look like they're from the Rick and Morty universe.
Is it not Squanchy? Is that not what
on the website, you see two dudes with the VR headsets on that look like they're from the Rick and Morty universe, and they're like doing like a weird like bro.
I'm pretty sure their mascot is Squanchy.
Motion. Okay, well I didn't see it on the official
website. Because I was under the impression that like and Justin they got the Roiland and Dan Harmon totally own Rick and Morty.
So they got the drool coming out of their mouths.
Yeah.
And they look like they're having a good VR time.
Oh my god, yeah, that's super good. And no, those are not Squanchy.
Squanchy. I've never seen it.
Squanchy's like a weird cat guy.
His name's Splazooshly. It's this guy. This guy's the mascot.
Oh, that's not Squanchy.
No, okay. I haven't seen Rick and Morty really, so I'm not.
Yeah, Squanchy's a cool cat.
But yeah,
Squanch.
He just wants to squanch.
But yeah,
over there.
Justin Roiland and Tanya Watson from Epic Games. and they're just going to squanch in VR.
I love it.
It's cool because he was already partnered with, I think, Alchemy Games. The guy's making Job Simulator, and he's making a Rick and Morty game with them.
Yes, a VR game.
VR.
Exactly.
And like from the first minute, he was already really dead set on making VR stuff.
Yeah,
like,
he's been talking really about how much he's into
it. So very neat that he's doing that, yeah.
Maybe we can get like that courtroom scene done in VR.
Okay, if you don't know what Wooly is talking about, you need to go watch Rick and Morty voice the court case of a North Carolina.
That was really
court case.
Quite humorous.
It is there's a bunch of cam versions and there's Adult Swim put up an official version. This direct feed.
This is a real transcript of a real case.
Oh, so good.
And this is just them.
Oh, it's so good.
Doing the lines of the judge and the suspect.
It's so fucking.
You got
funny.
A big fat mouth.
Or defendant rather. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It's so
go
funny.
Do it.
I have rewatched that so many times. It's so good.
That the moxie that judge has.
Yeah. Right now. Do it right now. You want me to do it right now? Do it right now.
Do it right now.
Take off the cuffs. Take off the cuffs. How many hands do you need to do it?
I can't. Right now is not. It's not a good time. I can't.
Are you getting this? Yeah, they're getting it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
There's like the third act heel turn.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, whoa. Oh boy.
Yep.
It's so good. What a cool judge.
Jerk off right now.
Yep. Everything. It's all in there.
The defendant looks a lot like Daniel Bryan.
And like the constant back and forth of, yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. No, I can't do it. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Make me do it.
Yeah, and like, and just what your content warning for everything in the shitty threatens.
Yeah,
if you're offended by anything, don't watch that.
Oh, yeah. You'll get offended by everything. So.
Yeah, it's oof.
There are three important details about 100-foot robot golf that we did not know.
I would like to talk about this. What are these details?
So, one... It's coming out in about a month's time. No, in about 2 months' time.
Okay.
So just keep that in mind.
That makes sense.
Coming out when PSVR is, yeah.
The launch game, probably.
Two.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
The robots are piloted by puppies.
Yeah. Wait, is that all the robots?
The robot that looks like a Megazord.
Okay. Because I remember seeing a bunch of, like... anime character designs as pilots for it.
There's a robot that looks like a Megazord and it like slash Voltron type thing, and that shit is piloted by straight on doggos.
That's good. At least one of them should be. I remember when they released their first VR like teaser image for it when the game got announced at PSX. There was a dog with a VR headset strapped to it,
and
that was the image.
Three. If a building is in your way, you can pull out your super evil justice killer sword. And cut the building down.
And just break it, yeah.
So that you can swing and get a better shot for your tee off.
Well, you can have fights in, like, beat up each other and stuff on the way to the next
the next hole.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
All sorts. This is the roster, the cast.
Oh, there you go.
Of like middlingly designed anime characters. Some of them are good. Some of them are not. But some of them are good.
I need to
see. That counts for a lot.
I want
to
see the mecha lineup. Do we have any of those?
Yeah, I don't know about that. You can see a lot of them in like
the trailer I saw.
The various bits of arts. Like there's your Eva with his fucking jaw open. Yep. And stuff.
Is there one that's like a Nicholas Tron?
I don't know what that means.
Jack Nicholas?
I don't think so.
Is Palmer Bot in there?
Palmer Bot. He's floating through the air in that pose.
He's got the arms out from the Time magazine cover.
Is there a...
I still fucking love
Arnold Palmer.
No.
Arnie Palmer, the golfer?
Oh, Jesus. Fuck.
Golf jokes, motherfuckers.
We're cool guys.
VR jokes. Palmer.
The Woods-O-Matic.
Okay, what
you
about...
know Tiger Woods?
Yeah, okay.
Fuck you.
Well, what about the frat bro guy? What's his name? The guy that all the frat bros love.
I don't know.
Old guy. Fucking...
Dude, golf is on when I go visit my
He's
folks.
Like the most charismatic golfer guy. Yeah. Old man, white hair. And he's like
oh, that's Arnold Palmer.
Oh.
You're thinking of Arnold Palmer.
I'm thinking about Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, because he's always had like pretty ladies all around him all the time.
Okay, then yeah, we laughed
he's
about
like,
him
He's
before.
Like the Bob Barker of the golf
Yeah, world. He's fucking, yeah.
He's fucking super dead.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's dead as fuck.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Who's the guy that got the half and half, iced tea, lemonade, Arizona
that's,
can?
That's specific.
What the fuck are you talking about?
He's got a signature
he's on the label.
On the label.
I did see that.
He's
know.
A golfer guy on the cover.
Jim Furyk? I don't
It might be him too. I don't know.
I go see my folks and dad's watching golf. This is the extent of this knowledge. Dad likes to watch golf because he's an old white guy.
See that one time Tiger Woods farted on the golf course?
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, well.
How embarrassing.
Yeah, it was good.
You got disqualified.
It's the most quiet setting ever because you're setting up for the putt and everything.
So a friend of mine was casually watching golf and a guy like hit a good drive and some guy went do it for Harambe like just screams it at the golf course and all the cameras pick up and it's because it's super quiet.
Yeah.
It's like fuck.
It's the best time.
Fuck,
it's the best time.
Yeah, golf is the sport you want to fucking get on TV. And just be a jackass.
That's golf, yeah.
Go to a golf course, because, like, no one's saying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the work isn't done until we see a fighting game character that has a walking animation that's creeping up on the pussy. You know that?
Swiggity swooty.
Yeah.
Until we see it. Anyway, so that's all fun.
I'm going to putt that shit.
What is weird is
conversation.
This conversation is a little weird, but Nintendo's been tweeting out these Breath of the Wild videos,
yeah,
and they've been showing off little features here and there and whatnot. But it's I'm missing a bunch of them, and I kind of like I feel like it's a bit odd that they're
doing it
in this way because it's like a drip feed of content as opposed to. You know, like these massive...
You want
to
talk fucking drip feed? Check
drops.
Out that fucking Galaxy-style 3DS they announced today.
What?
You see that fucking thing? Like Nintendo
it just,
new...
It just looks like space.
Nintendo new hardware announcement, and you click on the button, and it's fucking like Reggie going like, man, we're getting this Galaxy-styled new 3DS, and it's just like stars and shit on it. Fucking weird.
Okay. No, I missed that.
I don't know. Honestly,
it's a skin.
And I'm not trying to patronize. It sounds like regular marketing to me.
Yeah, totally. But it's like we're so close to a potential NX announcement.
Good point. Good point. No, I feel like maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like in the past you'd get like new trailer, bam, and then you get a teaser, then trailer one, then trailer two, and then like.
Well, pre-release there's so much content in Breath of the Wild that they're going to have to drip feed it until release.
But there so like basically what it ends up amounting to is like WebMs of shit that I'm like, "Wait, when did that happen? What was that? Where was that?" And it was
like, "No, you're actually watching the whole thing."
And it's like that's the clip that was released and it wasn't put out on a
just seems like good marketing to me, honestly. Keep people talking about
it's like the old fashioned days of like ooh, GameSpot got some new screens
yeah
yeah, yeah,
yeah. It feels like that but just like in small video form.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cornerstone of marketing stuff is if people are talking about it, you're doing it.
You're talking about it right now.
Yeah, so there, it's, right it's working.
You fucking, you're in their fucking web.
I there was a point where I thought I was on top of the stuff, and like I was like, wait, I missed a whole bunch of shit.
No, you got played. Too much now.
I got played. I didn't even play myself.
Just give up.
That's the problem.
Don't trust anybody. Not even yourself. That's a stupid picture.
It's the best. I adore that picture.
Dude, fucking... he takes himself out, man.
That's like up there with like those fucking old internet videos that you go and find, and you're like, yes, this still only has 12,000 views. It's just for me.
Did you guys like finish Super Hot?
Yeah, I finished.
Because when I got to the end, that was what I said to myself. When I got to that level. Don't trust anyone. Not even yourself.
That stupid picture's up there with like, my name is Sod and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Or like, not today, motherfucker, with the UFO.
Mm-hmm. They stand the test of time.
Statistically, at least one person knows what I'm talking about.
I mean, I do. So.
Yeah, you do? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, the Sod one cracks me up every time.
Still good.
Statistically, how many people in this room care about Toe Jam and Earl?
I only really care about the first one.
Everyone only really cares about the first one, but I don't remember it. Like when I played it, I was too young.
The third one has an amazing box art.
The unreleased one? That then eventually got released?
The one on Xbox, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no strong feelings.
Well, the one that the game that got kickstarted is
the new Toe Jam
near completion. Back in the Groove, you can take a look. And
being published by Adult Swim now, I think
being published by Adult Swim, and I think that's a smart thing.
It makes sense for them that like fits right in with their television content, honestly. So
Toe Jam and Earl on Eric Andre soon.
It wouldn't be weird if there was a Toe Jam and Earl show in that block. Like nothing weird about that.
Not at all.
I'm not so sure I'm keen on this new game, but it looks neat. I hope fans of it like it.
It's always seemed like something that would be right up my alley, but I never actually got a chance at it because, at first I didn't have a Genesis.
It's the ultimate co-op game.
Okay.
Like, that's what it is.
It, like, as something that is, like, heavily musically, like, influenced, I feel I should love this.
Yeah.
But I just never really touched it.
Sit down with a friend and play the original. It was always meant to be a co-op game, and it shows.
And this new game is not necessarily that?
No, it is. The new one is, but I'm just not sure I'm down for that. That's
okay.
All. Yeah. I think the art also looks odd.
3D world, 2D sprites?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. The Toe Jam and Earl I liked looked very different from that, so I'm just kind of like, Then again, I'm not a huge fan of Toe Jam and Earl or anything. I didn't play the second or third games, really, so I looked at them and I said, I don't want to play that.
it's something that...
The second game, like, Sega pushed them into making a platformer, and it's just a totally different thing. Okay, exactly. And I don't even... The third game is just something else entirely, so... This one's finally getting back to the style of the original, where you just kind of walk around and do stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. In like procedural,
hang out
in like
people.
Procedural worlds. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the cool things about it. Actually.
I'm curious. I'm curious to know if it's actually you know, up my alley. Hard to say. What definitely does look up my alley is Variable States Virginia.
Virginia looks really cool.
Have you seen anything about this game?
No.
So you would probably love this too. It is a first-person detective story.
Oh,
told
yeah.
In the style of Firewatch plus a little bit of Lynch going on, a little bit of X-Files going on. Seems from the previews I saw of it, like there's no actual voice acting. But you kind of go through the scenes and the scenes imply what's happening as you investigate and do things and whatnot. Really, really like looks like it can be telling an interesting story.
It might be neat. I'm kind of intrigued by it.
And
September is fucking brutal for game releases.
Yeah, and so it's coming out.
It's
on
starting
consoles.
To start right now. Actually,
it is week. It's starting. Yeah.
Does God Eater come out tomorrow?
God Eater and Attack on Titan and the new Project Diva come out tomorrow.
Well,
and more.
Well,
way,
anime
way more.
Game fans.
Yeah, I know.
Enjoy picking four games to not
it's
play.
It's gross.
But wait, there's more. I remember like Liam and you and I recently had a talk about like Kickstarters and how they're going and what's like. what we've been. I'm like, where are your Kickstarters at? Where are my Kickstarters
at? Did you find a new Kickstarter?
I didn't go watch Under the Dog yet, but I need to. I mean, no, I'm talking about the good ones.
Under the Dog's fucking cool.
There's some gold we can talk about afterwards.
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah.
Because
of course.
You know, like you.
Yeah, I know.
You understand.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I realize.
You can't.
I realize.
We can't
how bad
kick
it gets.
That puppy. All right. We're not kicking that puppy right now.
Why?
Why aren't you laughing at my joke?
You realize.
I realize
how bad it gets.
Thank you, Wooly.
Okay. It took a second.
You guys are assholes.
Dude, we were just. Oh, fuck it. Look. We were laughing at some really bad Kickstarters out there.
Oh, I know.
And.
This one still has a day left. It could still make it.
But hold on. It's not even about that. It's about the fact that it's like at a point you can't just bully some random person that's just out there. Like,
no, we had this whole huge talk because we were all looking at these fucking ghetto Kickstarters and laughing our heads off. We're like, we should have a segment on this. And then we're like, that's mean. That's fucking mean. And it's like people's like – they're asking for – like it's – it's too much. The stomp, the boot heel is a little too strong.
You know, and then to grind their heel on it it's, you know.
It's similar to
it's not
like,
hard to find.
It's a way to make enemies fast.
It's similar to how like I love like bad Twitch layouts, but like I don't exactly
thankfully
make my own goddamn website about bad Twitch layouts.
Yeah. Well, there's a Twitter out there you can follow called Bad Twitch Layouts.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds
great.
That's
what I'm talking about.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
That sounds great and I want to look that up right now.
Yeah, and
it's like the fanfiction.net Twitter account where it's
God,
just,
I love
yeah,
that one.
You know, and it's just like taking up the torch of like laughing at bad Kickstarters is like we can't do that. It would be too
because like you're laughing
awful.
At the death of someone's dream
and it's some random person and all they wanted was to bring back a beloved franchise that I'm not gonna name because
but he doesn't
know and he's like man
yeah
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm glad you hadn't seen that because it's a fucking riot.
And
like
the,
whenever
dude,
I read
the
down
best
that.
Part about the one that I was reading in particular is just some guy's just like, yo, I don't know how much games cost, maybe 100k, I don't know what I'm doing, someone help.
Yeah,
and like he's given the updates and like at the end of this long,
so I figured out I gotta program it.
This long sprawl of nothing of like there's a JPEG and then just text and no periods or any punctuation because he's talking into his phone doing type to talk.
Yeah.
And at the end of all of that, I just see like comments, none. Matthew Kowalewski likes this update. And it was like...
Me and him looked at it together and I was on his computer and I was liking all the updates on
fucking
it.
Fucking died. Died looking at this. So, but we can't.
No, we can't.
It's too mean. It's targeted and it's like.
We won't be doing that.
It's way beyond something like Rhett's Parade or F Plus or something like that.
Yeah,
It's like going to someone's workplace and throwing trash around.
But as far as successful Kickstarters go. I remember I was telling you, I was like, man, I haven't heard much from Star Mazer recently. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it turns out they have a prologue game that just dropped.
A demo for their prologue game just dropped.
Yeah, on Early Access called Star Mazer DSP.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks pretty.
Hey,
It looks pixel pretty is the term, I believe, that's being used.
Hey.
It's got a little bit of voice acting. It's got some really sick music in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fucking go see what's going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Shmup goodness.
Hey Liam, how's Project Phoenix doing?
Yeah. they just shipped Under the Dog.
Yeah.
Same guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
They Under the Dog, well, not the same entire team, obviously, but the same high up guys, same company.
What's the other one?
But Project Phoenix
story
is Project Phoenix is still going.
Yeah.
Just they're taking an extended
is
break.
Is Unsung Story still going?
I don't know about that one.
I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
That I like to laugh at myself on those two.
Yeah, yeah. You know, at least with Project Phoenix, even though it looks like it's in the most awful place in the world, like we've been able to get some good info where they're like, we still have the money. Where it's just going to take a fucking while.
Kingdom Come, that weird European like night game. Like,
yeah.
They keep releasing these like beautiful technical alphas that I'm not playing, but like that game seems to exist.
Yeah,
that's a good feeling.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, Torment's taken forever.
I just want Barkley too.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take a quick
I got my Daki Makura already.
I know you did. I know.
That came instantly.
Let him cook the stew, man. Let him cook the stew. Takes time.
Well, no, what I'm like, it's like Pillars of Eternity, Torment, and Wasteland were all around the same time. And Pillars and Wasteland came out like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And Torment is still ongoing. But Torment's super weird. Yeah. And I think it's also coming to the consoles as well.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that Ghost Song at? Where Ghost Song at?
I don't know.
It's coming.
I don't know.
It's coming.
You ever do that thing where you go back to Kickstarter and you're like, what have I backed? And you're like, fuck. Well, I forgot about 10 of these.
We were just talking about this. You can see a whole list of
what rewards have you gotten, and you check them off as you get the
rewards. Yeah,
because I had a moment where I was like, I haven't heard from a lot of people in a long time.
That's right.
And I feel like I want to kind of hold off on anything crazy popping right now.
Until a couple of these come through.
And it's a personal thing. It's localized to me and how much I'm willing to throw out there. Yeah. But I haven't seen enough return yet.
Like, I'm scrolling back through some recent ones, and like, there were some recent winners we're forgetting about. Like, Knights and Bikes.
Okay.
Knights and Bikes, that game looks fucking sick. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember Knights and Bikes. Yeah.
That game looks awesome, so that'll be one.
Yeah, we gotta keep track of that.
You feel the delay a lot more strongly when you put money in.
Yeah. Mm. And like, the giant robot duel. You remember the giant robot duel?
No.
Team USA versus...
Did that happen?
No, not yet.
They're still
working towards it.
Yes.
They're working on how to ship the robots.
Okay. That is a problem.
Because you have to boat them, but you don't want them to rust. You know?
Right. They're figuring it out.
So you got to seal them.
They have to do a lot.
Yep.
That's cool, backing a fucking event like that.
Tsudobashi
versus...
Megabots.
The Tsudobashi Concern versus...
Yeah.
Mega Robots America.
Yeah.
Hopefully refereed by Scarface Santaro.
The Japanese one looks so much more expensive and slicker and just well put together.
Oh my God.
But that's the problem.
I didn't realize I backed Slain. I'm just going to back projects, and it's just there. And I'm like, oh, I backed that game.
Did you?
Yeah, we did a video on that, me and Matt, which should be going up very soon.
It's
already up on Vessel. So,
yeah. And don't forget, there's Indiegogo too. Like, that's a whole other page.
Well, that's where Indivisible's at, right?
There's a whole other list over there.
You can't divide that.
Cannon Busters just came out.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
You can't divide that.
It's cool. It's cool, man.
If
you're a fan of Boondocks, you already watched it.
There you go. So, United Front Games.
Yeah.
Announcing their bold new title. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah, fuck, man.
Bold new title, which might as well be called Racial Tension Riots, the video game.
This is the game where I just take my reminder text document from my desktop and just drag it into companies to not pay attention to.
UFG, as we called them back in the day. They made the Sleeping Puppers
and the good and Little Big Planet Racing.
We love that. And Sleeping Dogs 2 is not happening just yet, but they're working on Smash Plus Grab. And it's basically seems to be a team-based
hero robbing game.
Right, you're a bunch of characters
you're looters.
Looters.
Yeah.
And you are literally it's not just loot, it's like break the store window down.
Yeah.
Get in there, take the shit, fight each other in the streets.
I have
as the city burns around you.
I have so many jokes. That is just bubbling up.
Dude, believe me, I saw that trailer and I went, okay.
Do you get the fucking DLC character that's a white guy that turns it from looting into scavenging?
Look, man. look, all right. Right now, we just see some storefronts and you break into them and you take shit out of the storefronts. We don't necessarily know. If anyone pushes that towards the suburbs.
Instigate a race riot for extra points.
Or if anyone says we need our all right. Look, we're tapping out. We're going to tap out here.
Oh, yeah?
All right. Can you pick up?
You got a power up. You pulled the hood of your hoodie down.
Don't loot the Weave Star.
Oh, the trip. So this is my favorite part. Well, he's like, he's moving the microphone and he's like
trying not to speak in the microphone.
He's moving around as like, I'm going to physically touch the computer to turn this off. And he stops and then
and
makes
just
a joke.
In the mic, yeah.
And then he just looks down at his fucking leg and is like, I shouldn't have made that
disappointing
joke.
Disappointing.
Okay, United Front Games.
We have to take a united front against these All right.
We gonna dry this one out or
dry it out?
You want to squeeze any more out of this rag or
I don't know. Is there a
It's not getting any better.
Is there a fucking mini game where you go and plant bombs at the levee so that the hurricane enables you extra looting opportunities?
Look, man. All right.
Do you get to control Kanye West during a news conference? Or do you control Mike Myers and you're like, hold your face still by not touching the controller?
Use the right stick to throw the VCRs to your cousin.
Yeah. No, you know what it should have? It should have a mini game where you go to your local team's star hockey player.
Well, I was gonna say.
And hit him in the leg with a baseball bat so that the team loses, thus guaranteeing a riot to cover your actions.
Yeah.
You can definitely
create
take
cover
it to
for
the
your
more,
looting.
The more local your hockey team won/lost that game.
I remember walking down the street with my girlfriend in downtown Montreal. She's not from here. She's like, "Well, there's just cops everywhere all the time."
Yeah, it's fucking.
It's like, yeah, because there's a hockey game tonight.
Yeah,
they're like,
or
they need to be here.
Or there's anti-police brutality demonstrations
that are the celebration of police brutality
that turn into bad.
There's my favorite one is the story you tell that you're walking down the street and a van just pulls up and the van door slides open and it's cops and they just grab a dude off the street and pull him into the van and he just gets disappeared.
Zero hesitation in 2016.
Because I almost got caught outside during one of those because I was walking down St. Catherine and I saw like people a little younger than me in their early 20s, like 21, just running down St. Catherine. And I was like, what's going on? Oh shit, it's police brutality day.
Yeah. And I remember that went by when I was working at THQ
and
my boss who worked there at the time had his car broken into when they walked and picketed peacefully by.
And,
hard to have any sympathy.
And I remember because I was on the corner of like St. Catherine University, and you know they have the staircases going down to the underground city. I'm like, oh shit, this is happening today. Oh, I can easily get in. They're all locked. Every storefront is locked. I'm like, okay, wait, no, shit.
I need
shit.
To get away from this fast approaching moral high ground.
There is a 5-block square radius here that I cannot be in the next hour.
Yeah, exactly.
And Montreal doesn't have those steel shutters. They don't pull down steel shutters on the streets.
No.
You know what, dude?
I can't be here right now.
I was leaving the barcade one time and it was happening.
You turn
right
back around.
I walked into it.
And then you turn around and go back inside.
Well, the thing was just, I was leaving and there's like I turned into the crowd sprinting the opposite direction.
Right.
And that's weird.
Getting chased by the shields, rolling up.
Like,
and I just was on the sidewalk and I just walked right past on my merry way and I smelt the tear gas. But I was fine.
You know what my favorite one is? It's not on police brutality day, it's on riot day. It's like playoff game, right?
Yep.
Is you always get the same fucking photo every single year. And it's the cop car is flipped. It is on fire.
Yep. Yeah.
The people are cheering, and there's a cop around just looking at it burn.
Yep.
Yeah.
Going, they need to do one of these a year.
Yeah. That was the car that was busted and needed repairs.
Like we put this cop car in the danger zone next to like Cabot Square or something.
We already took all the good stuff out of it.
Yeah. And we're just going to – we're gonna have
– They can have this one.
That's the bait. And they may or may not be like a skinny Asian law school student on top of it screaming.
Yeah.
Like in that Vancouver picture. Because
My brother.
Your flimsy moral high ground looks a lot better on top of a burning cop car.
I remember.
We doing Pharrell music videos now.
I remember my brother once talking at the dinner table. He's like, I got to go downtown later tonight. And dad's like, why? Because of the game? And he's like, yeah, kind of.
What?
and dad's like, you're staying home.
Yeah.
And like,
so transparent.
Like, man, you were just going to go downtown for the riot, weren't you? I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's like, it is fun. We were all there, like all of our parents threw a brick through a fucking window. It's just part of the deal. But it's like, nope, can't do it anymore. Yeah. It's bad now.
Don't do it.
Did the Habs win? Woo! Riot. Did the Habs lose? Woo! Riot.
Same response, totally.
Every time.
It's crazy. It's crazy how consistent that is.
The thing that got me was with the last set of riots is they came all the way out to my house.
Which is pretty
far.
It's really far.
I live maybe 10 kilometers out from the city center, mm-hmm. and the fucking students were all the way out here doing their bullshit.
I mean, at least it's easy to always recognize the anti-police brutality demonstrators because they're dressed like war boys.
Yeah. We're going to protest police brutality by starting a fight?
Yeah.
And praising Immortan Joe in the process.
Look, it's the fucking Watch Dogs 2 main character walking down the street with his buddies. Exactly. Oh, God.
Complaining that school costs too much. Yeah. The cheapest place in the world to go to school.
Now we're getting into it. Let's back it off. Hey, video games, what do we got for emails?
You know what? All that sounds like a great video game.
Dude, Montreal.
Watch Dogs 2, man.
Like, United Front Games.
I'm hacking his mind. Whoa.
Like, imagine, like, instead of like Soccer Manager, it's like Hockey or Basketball Manager, and you have to plan around riots. Like, L.A. has a very similar thing with their basketball.
Yeah.
Or because every E3, there'd be talk during the podcast, like, you have to get out of this E3 room in time to beat the riot that will happen because L.A. is in the playoffs.
Wouldn't it be cool if, like, outside of the arena, they sold, like, team-branded bats and bricks?
Well, we don't have the Expos anymore.
They could make a lot of money. Yeah, but whatever. The bats are still practical.
And the Expos didn't usually cause a lot of riots.
But it's still practical, like, for the riots.
Well, the problem is they sell booze at the fucking stadium.
Yeah, yeah. May as well include a brick with it.
You got a bunch of drunkards walking out, and their team lost or won. What do you expect?
Yeah.
Get a Nordiques bat. There you go.
It's good.
Man.
Anybody wants a cool history lesson and wants to see how bad riots can get, look up on Wikipedia the Murray Hill riots in Montreal in the 60s, in which the cops took a day off.
Ah, yeah.
The cops strike.
We've talked about that a couple
times. The cops fucking strike.
We've talked about that a couple times.
Cops can go on strike.
Not
but
anymore.
You can't tell people the cops are going to go on strike.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I believe there's a term for that. We call them purges.
Yeah.
And we more or less experienced the purge.
The actual no joke planned killings that happened on that day.
All the taxi places, sorry, all the limo places started to burn down as soon as the day started.
Like, fuck.
So for continued coverage of Smash and Grab, tune into the Super Best Friend cast.
Or your local news, I guess.
How about that? Let's look at some emails. I like
real talk though. I have no interest in that.
Oh, me either. Totally.
Just drag UFG into the OWL.
I have interest in it as much as we get to talk about it on the podcast uncomfortably.
Yeah, totally.
Because of the troubles.
Yeah,
the troubles.
Yeah,
say.
The troubles.
The troubles.
Mm.
I call it the troubles. I think that's accurate. Mm. It's a nice friendly way of describing the shenanigans.
Well, yeah, it certainly ain't good times.
No,
of course not. Then we'd say them by their name.
We're going to get weed legalized here next year. Troubles are going to be over.
Money's going to roll in. It's fine. Colorado figured
it
out.
Yeah.
We'll have new troubles, I'm sure.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly.
All right, look.
The troubles are going to get a lot better before they get a lot worse.
The troubles will be a little more relaxed.
Look, or not, depending.
Or, depending.
Like the
anxiety.
Martin wants to know,
Is he in the Troubles?
Vape Nation.
What your 2016 anime impressions are.
I saw this coming a lot.
Danganronpa is the best. It's the best one, but it absolutely requires that you at least play through three entire games. But it's the best.
That's ridiculous.
But it's the
best. Well, let's be real. One. Two in a summary.
No, you should still play
it. That's a hard sell, man.
You should still play it. I know you hate Ultra Despair Girls like a lot, but whatever. Still play it. It's fun. It's fine.
That's the weirdest. Like, I don't know. Like,
I can't. I can't
it's the weirdest sentence I've heard in a while.
Because Wooly particularly hates it. That's
even
why.
To connect to the story.
No, but
I mean,
translate that sentence on anything else. Like, I know you hate like ketchup a lot. Yeah. But it's fun.
Yeah.
Don't just eat it.
Well, it's more like relish, where like it's not as ubiquitously liked. Exactly.
I hate relish.
Yeah, but still, like, you know, just eat it.
No!
No, you don't have to.
Ruins
and that's
it.
What I'm telling Wooly. He doesn't have to play Despair Girls, but I still recommend it.
Dude,
it's really simple. Dante goes to hell. That's all you need to know.
Anyway,
we can move on.
That show is fucking the best, but you absolutely need knowledge of those things. The books and stuff add more, but it's not actually like super necessary compared to those three. And you do need Despair Girls. There is an episode called Ultra Despair Girls that deals with that, and there's stuff. Thunderbolt Fantasy is really, really fantastic. It's not technically anime because it's puppeteering. But if you dig
really puppets,
yeah,
and it's cool.
It's great. If you like the Dark Crystal or if you like how that kind of thing looks, then
is it Japanese
Thunderbolt Fantasy, yeah, absolutely.
I like puppets.
Genro Bocchi wrote it as well, because he just can't stop writing things.
No, apparently he can't.
So that's really, really good. There's this one show called ReZero. I forget the subtitle.
I keep seeing that name everywhere.
Regarding Zero.
No, it's more like Restart at Zero.
Okay.
But anyway.
Hey, sorry. Question about those puppets. Can you see the seam lines where their limbs and heads will fall off?
No, because the clothing covers it up. Normally.
Okay, but you know that he put those on there, so
you can see their mouths.
Okay,
really easy.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Thunderbolt Fantasy is really cool. ReZero was the show that I thought I would hate, and I didn't really super get into it right at the very beginning. But recently, I asked a friend, and I said, "Hey, should I watch this?" And he was like, "Yeah, it's." Yeah, you should. And I binged 9 episodes of it recently.
Apparently, it's a reconstruction of Isekai.
You could call it that, I suppose. Guy gets lost in fantasy world.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, here we go. I'm lost in fantasy world. And then he gets stomped by everything because he's fucking useless. Like,
yeah, know. So like, you know, absolutely, because that's the trope that I dislike the most about Lost
exactly.
in Fantasy World. It's like, you're, oh my god, because you're from the real world, you're actually the best person.
No, and he gets super, super stomped by everyone, and like it's a pretty good light novel adaptation. The only thing I don't like about it, and this goes for a lot of light novel based anime, is you can really see where the split between volumes is. Like, this is where the first book ended, and this is clearly where the second book began. And like, the second book's a lot weaker than the first book in this case. And anyway, I haven't gotten on to the third book and beyond.
What's the glop level?
Zero.
Wow.
Like, fucking zero.
Jeez.
ReZero
even?
Yeah, I guess so. But it has a lot of like
clapping for myself. No one else will do it.
It's really about the theme of like the character dying and restarting at certain points and having to do things different, like a Groundhog Day kind of thing,
except with death
as opposed to sleeping.
Well, he dies in Groundhog Day.
He does. He does.
No,
you're right.
All you need is kill.
Better execution than all you need is kill.
Ooh.
As much as I like all you need is kill, like. That thing fumbles too hard. Like, All You Need Is Kill starts off really hard, but by the end, it's just butterfingers all over the place. All You Need Is Kill doesn't wrap up well at all either.
I like Edge of Tomorrow better.
I like parts of Edge of Tomorrow better.
Like, as a whole.
Bits of it I like better, bits of it I
My favorite
despise,
part of Edge of Tomorrow.
Like, ruining the suit and getting rid of the axe and stuff like that.
My favorite part of Edge of Tomorrow is the one shot of like the Goddess of Victory, I forget her name, the Angel of
Full Metal Bitch.
And you look at her and it's like, that is a space marine. Like, yeah. That's a 40K Space Marine. Mm-hmm. Just for that one, like, piece of art, I'm like, yeah, I want a Space Marine.
If you look at the manga, there's a lot more art of those characters, so it's pretty cool. Shokugeki no Soma continues, which is, like, it's a really good cooking shonen show.
Mm-hmm.
All about, like, cooking and cooking battles.
Yep.
But no actual fighting.
Yeah.
That's all in their heads.
Just about... Yeah, no, it's like Prince of Tennis level nonsense.
It's about cooking real good, exactly.
Yeah.
I think the second season's a little bit weaker than the first season because it's not so much about the cooking as it is about, like, put allusions to them fighting on the screen rather than the actual cooking.
What about
process,
what about that show with the butt battles?
The show with the which one? Help me out here.
I don't fucking know.
What about the show with the anime girl?
People keep linking it to me on Twitter. So you see this shit? Like, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Tell Max to play it on his channel. on his Twitch, yeah.
Just live stream it on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck. Mob Psycho 100, have you watched that at all?
That's what I was trying to remember the name of. In my head, I'm like, 100 Men, 100 Mega Man, 100 Men, what?
It's so much better than One Punch Man. Like, okay. It's not even a contest.
No, I couldn't remember the words. Mob Psycho 100, yeah. Yes, there.
Yeah. One Punch Man, like, after a while, you're just like, I get it. I got the joke. I get it. I read the One Punch Man manga, but I couldn't stand to rewatch the anime because I was just like, oh my god, it's so one key after you get the gag, kind of.
Yeah, it's one
punch.
Well,
it's definitely I don't think it's for people that know what it is.
No, exactly. I loved reading the manga the first time.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it a second time.
It is for people who have never heard of this going into it for the first time.
Mob Psycho has much better writing. Like, on the whole, it has more of a world and stuff. Like, Mob Psycho is a much more interesting show, I think. And I think the animation is, like, totally on par. No problem.
Different style. It couldn't be more different.
Because One Punch Man's whole thing is, like, got to match that manga art. Got to be, like, super high fidelity, right? With Mob Psycho, it's the complete opposite, where they're, like, aping one style as hard as they can and going for the super low fidelity.
It's almost South Parkian.
In some cuts,
not in terms of, like, flapping,
but they,
like,
make stuff rough and shaky on purpose, and you can tell it's on purpose as opposed to an untalented team.
But on a scale from 1 to Jam Project, how much Jam Project is in there?
None, but it's fine.
Okay,
it's fine. The opening theme is amazing in Mob Psycho 100. Like, it's such a good opening.
Yeah,
theme,
no, so. It's been getting strong recommendations all around. So.
I know it's good because Mr. Jeff Thu over at Mother's Basement did a video on it.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure it was good.
I believe it was sponsored by Crunchyroll.
Jeff
but.
Thu is a good. Oh yeah, he did that opening one.
Jeff Thu is a piece of shit.
There's this. Yeah, he's professional at it.
You see that seven best YouTubers thing? We weren't on there.
I know. Fuck that.
Fuck that motherfucker.
There's this one. You guys, it might be up your alley. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
I heard that show is trash.
Yeah, it's on the worst arc right now. So no.
It's basically the narrative.
Yeah, are you watching
the narrative?
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
The last episode was fucking stellar. Like,
yeah,
they pulled it out, and this is where
the series begins.
Yeah,
you know exactly. Yeah.
For all you folks out
JoJo's
there,
JoJo's still great.
Who are reading the Crunchyroll subs? That and I don't know if the actual Japanese is like that arc is not that episode is not called Heart Attack.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That episode is called Sheer Heart Attack.
Sheer Heart Attack.
Part one and part two.
Like right after that finished because I was watching it with the girlfriend and like she got up and left or whatever. I just went like, hey Siri. Play Killer Queen right now.
Yeah. I'm watching it with a friend of mine, and I was like, okay. So last week I was like, we're not going to watch it this week. Because
you want to watch both, yeah.
Because this week is like a rough cliffhanger, right? We're going to watch it this week. It's a cliffhanger again. I'm like, well, at this part of the story... Every single episode's going to be a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is the one you want.
For like the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like 10 episodes in a row that are cliffhanger.
But now all the cast is together.
Yeah.
And like
they have their cool action pose.
Finally gonna start. Yeah. There was this one show a little while back, Shirobako, that will never ever get a second season. It's the saddest thing in the world.
Ever.
It's a anime about making anime. And
that's doomed.
No, it's incredibly good.
Yeah, well, it's never getting a second season.
Incredibly good, and it it really, having never made anime, it really feels like they know what they're talking about a lot, right? The reason this is relevant is there's a show this season called New Game, and it's an anime about making games.
Interesting.
And they don't fucking know what they're talking about, and it's fucking gibberish, and it's junk, and it's hard to watch because of that.
Awesome.
It's just a slice of life with a bunch of girls who work at an ad.
We gotta tighten up the graphics on level 3.
It's very entertaining to watch, and I'm enjoying watching it.
There is a
but don't listen to them.
There is a documentary level of detail put into something called Otaku no Video, made back in the day, that is exactly what it's like making anime. And quite frankly, I think that's the only thing you need to watch.
Shirobako's good, though. You might actually enjoy it. It is a really good anime about making anime.
Okay. That was a joke, by the way. If anyone's seen Otaku no Video.
Because Otaku no Video, also the exact same thing. No.
Okay. Because that fucking movie ends in space.
Otaku no Video is
nuts. It's amazing.
That's exactly what it's like
to make anime.
It's the best.
I could go on. There's one called Sweetness and Lightning about a single dad who's just trying to do good and take care of his daughter, but... he's struggling and stuff.
Is that a Life of Slice?
It's a Life of Slice about food. I could go on, but I think that's a pretty good spread right now. Those shows are strong. Fucking watch Danganronpa if you're caught up on Danganronpa.
So I should not watch Danganronpa.
Fucking watch it. Yeah, but Wooly should be watching Danganronpa
because he's actually caught up.
I plan to marathon it.
It's. You should just start watching it. It's so good.
But then I'm going to have to wait for 2 episodes every week.
Well, think of it more as one show. Because if you're not watching them back to back, you're doing it wrong. Because they're related to each other every time.
Absolutely.
There's direct stuff where oh, this is about this. And in the past, this is also
That's
about
a super
this
interesting
topic.
Concept. It's and, so cool. I'm very excited for it.
It's really thrilling.
Yeah. If I guess if UDG is super important,
it's not as important as 1 and 2, obviously, but it's totally pertinent.
There are characters from that are around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I understand.
It's good.
Okay. We got one coming in from Michael, and he wants to know about Sonic's future, looking at Sonic Mania and Project 2017. Are you happy, neutral, or not interested?
I think if you're a big fan of those old Sonic games, Sonic Mania represents the best chance that you've ever had of playing another Sonic game that makes you really happy.
Yeah, I'm happy, but I've been happy for a while.
Well,
what was the last game? It was Generations, right?
I specifically mean the sticklers, the weirdos like me, that every time they pick up a new Sonic game, they go, the jump is wrong, and put it down.
Yeah.
Which
is unfortunate, because there is stuff like colors.
The audience that
did you buy Freedom Planet?
No. Yeah, I did. It's on my thing.
Great game.
Okay. Just checking.
I didn't play it, but I bought it because you guys recommended it. And
yeah.
It looked cool, and you could vouch for its quality, so I bought it to support them.
You'll enjoy it.
Play arcade mode.
Okay. I remember picking up Sonic Generations, jumping once and spin dashing once and putting it back down and going, this game's garbage.
Sure.
So for those people, the crazy people that really, really just want a very, very specific...
Just what it was.
Sonic Mania is our shot.
Sonic Mania looks, based on the one little bit we've gotten and some of the gameplay footage we've gotten from that show floor at the time...
It's exciting.
It looks quite good.
Good time to be a Sonic fan.
And for the next Sonic, it's not one thing I see a lot of people saying is oh, it looks super grimdark and out of step. And that was kind of always what Sonic was. And if you just think about the first level in each game, Green Hill Zone,
we're happy animals.
You're wrong.
And then you go to Flying Battery or Metropolis
or Oil Ocean
or Death Egg.
And then you look at the end of Knuckles Chaotix and you realize it's shot for shot. Pretty much what this new trailer is. Sonic's kind of always been this thing.
It runs the gamut in tone from level to level. It usually goes happy and then it gets darker as you go on.
Exactly. And I mean, sure, the marketing has pushed it differently. Now it's getting pushed a little darker because they have the ability to, and that didn't really come out in the originals, but
hey, even if all the Sonic games are bad forever, at least we still have that Sonic Twitter account. And
yeah.
if you're playing Deus Ex, you have a chance to play Knuckles
with Knuckles,
featuring Knuckles.
Yeah.
And now there's the Dark Souls Twitter account,
and
they're getting in there as well.
That makes me super excited.
So the last game was Generations, though, right? Or am I crazy? Am I? No, it was fucking. No. It was fucking all the Wii U games that were shit. That's what it was.
That's right.
Man, I wrote those off so hard.
They were games that wouldn't let us film at certain events.
Those were shit, man. Those games sucked. But if this game is
Sonic Boom.
As good as Generations or Colors, I'll be fine.
I'm getting a Facebook alert that says apparently the Sonic comic fixes everyone, including Chip. Even though you hate Chip, it actually makes Chip good.
It's hard to make Chip good because you can't turn back the clock, right? But
it's a good time to be a Sonic fan for sure.
I think so. Yeah. Totino's, by the way. Totino's food is also a good product if you are a Sonic fan. Don't buy it.
Gene Wilder's dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys gone back and watched that stream yet? And seen all the Totino's?
I've seen it. Okay, yeah, for sure.
The Totino's live eat is like...
Can you link me to like the breakdown compilation video?
Yeah.
Time to go back and watch Blazing Saddles, man.
I actually wouldn't recommend watching Jim Sterling's video because he cuts it up in the way that just makes it like look funniest and the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like watching it as it progresses.
Oh, I much prefer the raw cut of like the Konami presser.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you get. So I'll try to find a video.
Thanks, man.
I
appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. There's so much of that movie that doesn't work today, dude.
I watched Blazing Saddles like a year ago.
Yeah.
And it was just like, you would not be able to put this film out in theaters now.
No remaster for you.
No. Forget about that shit.
Yep.
Here comes another email. Mongo.
Manny says, or excuse me, Senfood says, "Dear best supple beast fronds. Gremlin Diva is quite possibly my favorite fan and joke of all time.
It's way up there. It's real good.
It's really
and
good.
It only became greater with the new emote of her eating chips and chugging soda.
That's only on the PTR right now, right?
Yep, and it's going to be real.
Okay.
And I'm super salty because I spent my money off from the PTR on that stupid shit. And then they released the new Reinhardt skin. And I was like, you fuckers, you didn't tell me.
Well, Wooly.
You know, there's no cap on how much money you can spend.
No. PTR, you can't earn anything.
Of course.
Actually, you can earn boxes.
You could just get yourself 17,000 credits.
No, you don't understand. I don't think you understand. No, you don't understand.
On the PTR,
you can't even do that. Mm. It's the PTR test, but you can't shop.
You'll probably get refunded, actually.
You know?
So just wait.
I already had enough. I'm just playing.
Just fucking don't play on the PTR, psycho.
But I need to know.
Just wait.
You of all people are telling me?
It's just not out yet.
I know.
Listen.
My logic on that is completely binary and never makes any consistency. If it was an MMO, which is a scarier PTR, I would be on there in a second because I need to, like, I'm not playing with these old fucking classes. But for a shooter, for some reason, no, fuck that. Stupid. My consistency is nil.
How many crates do you get for $50? How much is it again?
It's 50 for, it's 50 for 39.
Because I was just thinking, man, Blizzard could
I think it's like 458.
Blizzard could make like filth money if they had like a $8 a month sub to get crates every month.
Oh man.
They could make dirt money.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Blood money.
Yeah, basically.
Mystery money.
It's fucking awful.
What you going to do? Irresponsible money.
Dog money.
It's fucking awful. At least in fucking like Mankind Divided, the microtransactions are so nothing. You can buy in-game money for a currency that you don't need more of.
Well,
or you can buy Praxis, which
you're
you don't.
Drowning
well,
in
hold
both.
On, hold yeah. on, hold on. Let's not get mad at the theoretical service that doesn't exist.
No, I'm not. I'm getting mad at the service that does exist in Overwatch because it's shit.
The fact that you can't just buy the thing is annoying.
Well, also that the only distribution method is random boxes. Like,
for some of the costumes is dumb.
For a game that's not completely free to play.
I am aware more than anyone else that distribution method is not great.
Sucks.
Fucking
Mankind's Divided Breach, as much as I like it, has that shitty distribution
method. Well, welcome to the shitty future that I enabled.
I'm okay with the version of it prior to the summer costumes, you know?
Yeah.
I'm okay with the version.
The summer
of
costumes took a little bite out of my defense of that system.
Everything having a price tag, I'm fine with. But they've
mentioned that those costumes are going to be back, and it seems like they're not going to do that again.
Good.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
When we'll find out when Halloween rolls around.
What's your favorite fanon joke that became canon?
Right, right.
Fanon joke that became canon?
Fanon. It's a fake word, like fan canon.
I don't know what I don't quite understand.
Like Gremlin Diva. It was a joke that was fans head canon fanon that became canon.
That's rough.
Knuckles and Knuckles. With Knuckles.
Good. That's pretty
That's
good.
My favorite.
Knuckle, yeah, well.
I don't know, man. I'd say Gremlin Diva right now. Right now?
Because that becomes myths, right? And that's like Mew hiding under the bus, which never became real. And it's like, what myths like that were favorites that actually became real? And that's the bit I struggle on. Because the myths are easy to... It's easy to remember, like, favorite myths and thoughts, but that are actually real.
Error Macro.
Yeah, Error Macro's...
Another one that I like, favorite. But I'm not sure if it technically qualifies, because I'm not sure which came first, but Yoshi P as a prophet in FF14.
A prophet?
He's a character called the Wandering Minstrel. And
yeah, you told me about
talk to him, he's the one who unlocks hard versions of dungeons because he literally just bullshits a bunch of crap, and that's why it's harder. And he also, like, recently was in an event where he told a prophecy about what the next expansion's going to be. But I'm not sure if that came from, Yoshi P's so great, like the fan base, and then he put himself in, or was the other. But, like, he's got a custom face and all sorts of stupid shit.
I struggle to think of one more than Overwatch. But that's probably just because Overwatch is such a new hotness.
Is probably
Error Macro is a really good one. Yeah. But that wasn't a headcanon, was it? It wasn't.
It was. Because people are like, who is this new character? And the answer is no one. That's not a new character.
Was on the list.
Then right. It became so a new character.
I guess it kind of was, yeah.
Knuckles flying away in Sonic Boom is also up there.
But that's not a fan canon. That was canon, like...
Bug in game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, because I thought of that too, but then I was like, wait, no, that fans didn't come up with that.
If
that
you
was
have in... more examples, send them in to the emails.
Okay, we got one.
Oh, nanomachines. Nanomachines, which were in the game, but then got to like meme territory when 4's plot was nanomachines, and then Rising brought it back as nanomachines.
Nanomachines' son.
And memes came back as memes.
Memes came back.
Remember
as well.
When Tempest or whatever his name was like, what about the
Monsoon?
Dank?
Monsoon?
Yeah. What about the dank memes, Jack?
He wasn't talking about those memes.
Yeah, he was.
And now we got Jensen jumping on robots with Rules of Nature on unofficial Twitters going out there.
Screaming that he asked for this.
That safety dance video for Mankind Divided was out within like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
That guy was ready.
And last one we're going to take is from Tom, dear allied Canadian gaming acquaintances.
Hey.
If you were given a mech to pilot, what method of driving it would you prefer?
Ooh.
The mech warrior style where you have a huge keyboard, the classic joysticks and lever, the motion control style where the mech follows your movements, or Warhammer 40K where you're plugging it straight into your brain?
Something really fucked up and gross like using an Xbox One controller in one hand and a mouse in the other hand.
That's disgusting. I'm vomiting already.
That would be my pick. No, I don't know. I like the Gundam thing is cool with the arms
two levers.
And the,
so having,
but I need a lot of switches to flip, you know.
Okay, so you're more of a Steel Battalion kind of guy then.
No, I'm more of you know those play things you get for babies that are like a circle?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That's what I want.
So having actually done it at the virtual world where you simulate the whole mecha environment thing in the cockpit, the most control I've felt and had and enjoyed was with joystick in one hand, throttle in the other, right?
Yeah.
That was good enough.
That makes sense.
Figures.
Right?
But if I could have fucking anything, I'm going with the Big O. The Big O has a giant two sticks in his hands and a disc around him, and they rotate so that you can spin and punch and spin and punch and then lift the thing up in the air and fire the shotgun arms to blow your shit up, and it's the fucking best.
For me,
What about like the Victory Gundam? You just stand around and punch.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want the G Gundam shit. I get it, but I don't necessarily want that.
You know what I want? I want some Tang. I want some LCL in my cockpit. I want to be immersed in an aqueous solution that I breathe in.
And
control it pseudo-mentally, pseudo-mechanically.
No matter how horrifying it is.
With an input delay.
Okay.
I always thought that by far the coolest thing that Eva ever added to mecha anime like mechanics was that you're psychically controlling your thing kind of mechanically, but your piloting skill is determined by your level of input lag.
Like
this character has a full second. That's a lot of input lag. But this kid, he's got like 8. That's under a frame of input lag on his robot. That's crazy.
There's also levers in the Evangelion
units. Yeah, there are two controllers.
So. Yeah.
But it's also pseudo mental and pseudo foot based.
It's got a whole, you have to use everything.
Yeah, it's a whole fucking experience.
The plug it into your head.
Can I pilot like one of the non prototype test ones? Can I
like one of the good ones?
Can I pilot one of the good ones that isn't
your mom?
Only if it's only if it's like, your mom. No,
yeah, no, come on, nope.
Gotta be your mom.
Gotta go. She's gotta go.
My mom's a nice lady. She probably wouldn't go berserk.
She's gotta go.
Okay, well,
and you gotta get in the pod.
That's the cost.
And insert yourself inside. So I think those plug them into your head things are probably the most efficient. But
close second is the Mech Warrior, like full on Steel Battalion times 10.
Mm. I think of like you have your current Iron Blooded Orphans, where it's like plug it into your head and whatever.
I don't want that.
Mention Warhammer, but let's be real, motherfucker. Let's go back.
I don't want to plug anything into
to
my head.
JT Marsh and the Exo Squad. They were plugging shit back into their heads.
I don't want that.
No,
that's gross.
Yeah, even though it's maximum control.
I would like.
What if USB 4 comes out
and you got USB 3 in the back of your head? Yeah,
you're fucked.
You're just slow. You're slow forever.
Sure, you can go in for surgery. But
see, that's the thing that's the thing I say over and over again in Human Revolution is like,
obsolete.
Hey, you know when human augmentations hit the market, like better than human augmentations, don't get Gen 1 or Gen 2.
Yeah.
Because you know that they're going to have exploding battery problems and fucking chafe problems and gear shift shit.
Yeah.
You see those Gen 1 iPods nowadays, man?
Yeah.
Not holding up.
Fuck that. Imagine that was in your dick.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a waste.
Oh, crap.
Gen 1 dick.
Yeah.
No good.
Has no rumbler feature.
Mm-hmm.
No extender.
Gotta get that rumbler.
No telescopic.
Extender.
Foldouts.
Yeah. Doesn't even shoot electrical current.
What's the fucking point?
I don't even know.
I mean, sure, you could unlock your car with it, but yeah.
Not under warranty.
Retract it.
But the mod system, the mod scene would be amazing.
No.
The mod scene would be fucking sick.
Okay.
Look, I put a bottle
people
opener
willing
on.
To mod their car, people willing to mod their PC, people willing to mod their vape rig. That's one thing. People willing to mod their arm, like their robot arm that you void the warranty on if you mod it, those people are nuts.
Yeah, well.
Because what? Uh-oh, I severed the servo. Like, remember the PS2? If you unhooked it bad, you could fucking cut that ribbon.
Yeah.
And the fucking thing wouldn't work.
That's correct.
Time to head down to you break, I fix.
I cut the fucking ribbon
me.
On my arm. I'm now robo-crippled. Shit.
That was a good idea.
I just wanted 3% extra accuracy on my sick mouse skills. Now I'll never be Overwatch champ.
I'll never be esports.
Yeah.
It's not a phase, Mom.
Those pirated Russian firmwares for your dick are the best ones.
Dark Alex, coming to you.
Yeah, you fucking started up and a song just starts playing and you're like,
I need this.
It's so loud and you're like clutching your ear. Like, I can't get it out. Fucking techno mix.
All right. So, oh man, those songs are great.
They're really great, but they play at like 1,000% volume. Really,
it's so edgy. Like that's the sentiment I get.
Yeah, I get it, Russian Juarez group. You did a really good job.
And I remember always wondering, I'm like, how come actual software developers don't make these cool windows with graphics on them? And
then you realize when you hit the age of 13 that's a bad idea.
Slash when you download drivers from like fucking, I don't know, Razer or any of these or Asus or any of these companies that actually do that, you go, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah.
We shouldn't do this.
Did Razer do that?
They did it.
I'm gonna
a bunch of other companies
double
did
down
it
on not liking Razer.
Uh-oh. Don't look too hard at my mouse or headset.
You bastard!
Uh-oh.
I knew you said the names before.
You fucking bastard!
Hey, man, their sticks are terrible.
They're kill... Yeah.
Their sticks are terrible, and they bought out Ouya and made it worse. That one is always the one. Because it was always like, I bought it for $100 and I had a few good evenings with some friends. And then they put out the Forge TV, and it's the worst product I have ever bought in my life.
That's
my mouse works, and it's got pretty colors.
Yeah, until it dies on you in the middle of the esports tournament.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Poonko's going to laugh at you in Korean.
Is it a wireless mouse?
No.
Okay, yeah.
They don't sell wireless.
See, that's why I just gave up on the mouse game, because I need a wireless mouse.
I was thinking that, but it's like, no, competitively, you don't want it to die ever. So yeah. You don't
that
do,
latency
you don't,
is too much.
Well, the latency, yeah.
What's coming up?
Let's see. Near finishes in the near future. Hey!
Those jokes also finish.
There's a bunch of JoJo coming soon.
New LP doesn't start until next week, or is it this week? Is it the end of this week?
Fucking no.
Near will be replaced by a new LP with me and Liam, but yeah, that's probably the end of this week.
Well, Liam. And Omicron.
Omicron.
The fucking
on
mess.
Welcome in Omicron.
Liam, I swear you really need to jump to a random point in that LP.
I think I will.
It is a fucking mess. We're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
But
it's
like
a mess.
There's a Reddit thread that's just basically like, what the fuck is happening in this game? And I'm like, oh, we're doing good.
And that's not our fault
this
time.
We're doing good.
No, yeah.
No, the game is super confusing.
Disaster Report won't restart until next week.
Yeah, because Matt's not here.
Matt's still out.
And Liam's going to do some ending stuff.
Yeah, I've already gotten a lot of progress in that. So
good job.
There's stuff. There's still stuff to be seen.
So that's what's coming up. What's coming up on the watch? What are you guys looking forward to? God Eater 2,
Rage Burst.
That's coming out tomorrow.
Which is,
that's nuts.
According to people who have played it in Japan,
multiple years ago, one
of the best hunting games that exists. One of the only ones that can compete content wise with Monster Hunter.
That's crazy.
Which is nuts. That comes out. Attack on Titan comes out tomorrow.
Yep.
Project Diva X comes out tomorrow. It's the worst one yet.
Titanfall
still like an 8.0 game.
Titanfall's bullshit tech test that was really just meant to get you hyped up for the game.
Yeah,
is
continuing.
It worked.
The Neo beta is still on, by the way. So go play.
Oh, Neo is happening until September 6th.
It's
That's
still
correct.
On. I've been mm-hmm. playing it. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, I did play it. It's good. It's better.
And my fucking Titan boner is harder than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you're right when you said it, Liam. I am so happy to be living in a world where the phrase "prepare for Titanfall" exists.
Yeah, it's prepare for, like, the fact that "prepare for Titanfall" can be a phrase uttered, and that happens in a mainstream game.
It's cool.
It's the best.
It's the best. Euphoric,
dude. I used that word earlier. I used that word earlier.
Yeah,
you have to understand. I got, like, every single game I played, I got a Titanfall kill.
Like, oh wow!
I dropped a Titan on a motherfucker.
Yeah,
but I bet nothing you did was as cool as that clip Shmup God Pat put up.
That was a cool clip, but
wasn't as cool as this clip.
I'm a pat myself on the back for slingshotting past the friendly Titan.
Yeah, that seems
on
like
top
a good
of the
one,
enemy
yeah.
Titan. I'm really on board.
That
with
seems
that.
Like a good one too.
Yeah, no, Titanfall still looks fucking dope.
It's a good week.
Hey, King of Fighters, man.
Oh yeah, I gotta get on that. I gotta get on that. Well, actually, I'll get on that when they fix the netcode.
Yeah,
I'll do that.
Sure. Get your endings though. There's real
in
endings.
In the meantime,
non-Bengus endings.
What?
Yeah.
I always get Bendis and Bengus confused.
Yeah, same
Brian
guy.
Michael?
Same guy.
I don't know who the fuck his name is.
Okay.
It's a Marvel guy.
Same person.
Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah, okay. Is it the same person?
Yeah,
do they
totally.
Have different names?
Yeah. Try not to think about it.
Oh, okay. Is the podcast over?
I guess.
Okay. What's the track you're using this week?
Oh, shit.
You didn't think of one?
No.
All right.
I'll figure
it out. Use Killer Queen. Fuck it.
Yeah, that's not going to be a fucking problem on iTunes.
Oh, okay, fine. Fuck it. Use Deadly Queen.
People send these clips.
Yeah.
tomorrow.